The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, July 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a 40-year-old man was shot and killed after answering a knock at the door at his South Philadelphia home. Police say the shooting happened around 11:30 last night on the 2000 block of South Norwood Street. Police say the victim was shot once in the chest at point-blank range, collapsed just inside of his home. He was then taken to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead a short time later. Police say they received information that leads them to believe that there may have been an argument or fight earlier in the day involving the victim. They believe that he could be the motivation for the homicide. Police described the shooter as a tall, thin man who was wearing a white shirt and dark colored pants. Witnesses tell police the victim was home alone when he answered the door. Police are looking at surveillance cameras in the area to see if they captured any footage to help with the investigation. Anyone with information is asked to contact Philadelphia police. 17 people were arrested outside an Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in Berks County Sunday. Hundreds came out to voice their displeasure with the facility's existence and the Trump administration's zero tolerance policy on immigration. A handful of people were arrested when they staged a sit-in in the middle of Berks Road. According to ICE officials, Berks County Residential Center was developed to provide a safe, secure, and humane environment for families as they go through the immigration process. Families sometimes spend hundreds of days inside the federally funded prison before receiving a court date. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf tried to revoke the center's license, but the federal government will continue to operate the facility. The Berks County facility is one of only three Immigration and Customs Enforcement family detention centers. The other two are in Texas, and those facilities are not allowed to detain immigrants for more than 20 days.
The protest was a little half-hearted because they're actually chanting, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, insert the name has got to go."
That's weird.
And that, you need to know what you're protesting.
You need to know what's going on. A code red is in effect in the city today, and because of the heat, all public schools in Philadelphia will operate on a free swim schedule. Today and tomorrow, pools will be open for free from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m.
Man, it's really hot out there, isn't it?
Yes, and I think the phone line
of course,
is open
yeah,
as
it has
well.
To be. Yeah, yeah.
Philly Parks and Recs tweeted out.
Yeah, boy, it's really hot out there, isn't it? Yeah, try not to stay out there too long. Thank you for calling.
Let's go swimming.
Yeah.
Philly Parks and Rec tweeted out, code red starting tomorrow. All public pools will operate on a free swim schedule through Tuesday. They will open at 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. You can use the finder to locate a pool near you. So you can use that finder to find a pool that's close to you. There's a bunch of them in the city, and it is free today and
I'm
tomorrow.
All over that.
A city swimming pool in Wilmington is under scrutiny after Muslim children were asked to stay out of the water because of their clothing. A group of children and their parents say they feel discriminated against by the manager and staff at the city of Wilmington's Foster Brown pool because of their clothing and their religion. The mayor released a public apology and said it was wrong of the city to ask children of the Muslim faith to leave a city pool because of religious related clothing. While many public pools have a no cotton policy to help maintain the pool's filtration system and uphold safety of the children, the mayor's statements continues. The city used poor judgment in assessing this entire matter and equally poor judgment in reacting to it. The mayor says that he wants to meet with the camp director and the parents this week to personally apologize for this and to discuss the situation moving forward. The camp says it will gladly accept the mayor's invitation to talk.
Well, they have a religious-based swimwear that you can purchase.
They do?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Right. Do they?
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah?
I'm wondering
Burkinis.
If I have no idea what cotton does to a pool system. I know that we were never allowed to wear like cutoffs.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And this was back in the, you know,
because it just didn't look good.
Late 70s, early 80s. No, it wasn't because it didn't look good. Because of the frays on the edge
right.
of the material.
And that would get in the filter.
And it would get in the skimmers and clog it up and stuff like that. At least that's what they said.
Yeah, you know what though? But did you ever try to swim with clothes on? I mean, if it's a kid who's, you know, kind of just learning to swim, it weighs them down.
Oh, sure.
A lot.
It does, yeah. Oh. It can absolutely be dangerous.
I was taught to swim wearing corduroy, which was
listen,
a huge
I told,
mistake.
I told you guys I wanted to jump in the pool. Was it you that
yeah,
was
yeah,
your
yeah.
idea
suit,
for the
yeah.
three-piece suit on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See how it
I
works.
Have a pool. I need to do that.
That would literally be a swimsuit.
And I got to clean it.
What a pain.
What do you have the butlers for if they're not out there?
Well, right. What about Thursday?
What about Thursday? Oh, at
belly flop.
At the
ba-
oh, yeah, dude, you don't, don't want to drive.
Home.
I don't
want to
get in the water again. Steve and I did that. The crowd egged us on to jump into the water. We did with our freaking clothes on.
And I
then
drove
it
home.
Sucked driving home.
Drove home sopping wet.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm like,
God damn it.
We didn't know we were going to do it.
Well, I'm just saying, this time, bring a change of clothes.
You know what? A human, at that particular event, somebody jumping in a three-piece suit is nothing compared
That's right.
to what the competitors are doing. So it's not like it's going to be, oh, my God, I can't believe it, you jumped in.
Yeah.
You know,
when it's unplanned.
Yeah, meanwhile, a guy in a suit of armor jumps in
there you go.
To do a belly flop. So it's going to pale in comparison.
All right, let's do sports this morning. Brian Anderson hit a three-run home run in Miami's eight-run fifth inning, leading the Marlins to a 10-5 win over the Phillies yesterday afternoon in South Florida. The Phillies, who lost two of three to the Marlins, fell to 53-42 on the season and head into the All-Star break with a loss, but are still in first place and lead Atlanta by a half a game in the National League East. The Home Run Derby is tonight, and Rhys Hoskins will be participating. The All-Star game itself is tomorrow night with Aaron Nola, the lone Philly representing the team. 20 years after the best day in French soccer history, France won its second World Cup title, beating Croatia 4-2 at the finals yesterday in Moscow. Kylian Mbappe, who was only 19, became the first teenager to score in a FIFA World Cup finale since Pele did it at the age of 17 in 1958. In sad and tragic news, former Flyers goalie Ray Emery drowned while swimming with friends in his hometown of Hamilton, Ontario. He was 35 years old. Oh. According to the Hamilton Police Department, Emery was reported missing just after 6 a.m. in Hamilton Harbor, which is on the western tip of Lake Ontario. On Saturday night in Hamilton, Emery played in former Flyers Zach Rinaldo's charity hockey game. Emery's body was recovered in proximity to where he was last seen, and the cause of death will be confirmed following an examination. Absolutely awful.
It was like 6 a.m. He was going for a morning swim. He just dove in and never came back up.
That is awful.
I mean, it leads you to believe that maybe he hit his head that. But I just, it's 35 years
35
old.
35 years
horrible.
Old.
Horrible.
And I'm not sure. Did you find Nick? Does he have family? Is he married?
I don't know if he has any a wife or kids, but I did meet him a couple of times. He could not have been a nicer guy. Derek Settlemyer, who's the equipment manager for the Flyers, introduced me to him at a Phillies game, actually. And he just was the sweetest, nicest guy. And this just breaks your heart.
It's terrible.
So sad. Right. The Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
That's good.
What I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Hey, I want to start off this morning by congratulating and welcoming a new member of the part-time staff, air staff of MMR, our former programming assistant, Max Walker, made his debut.
Yeah.
Maybe overnight. I came in and talked to him and asked how things went, and he said it was a blast. He didn't have any equipment issues. He did flub a few things on air, which he was critical of.
Said the F word 10 times.
Anybody's going to, but he got through his first shift, and we're happy. And that's nerve-wracking, man.
Oh, yeah.
First time on the radio.
Do you want to know that's a trial by fire I've never had? I've never done a classic DJ shift. I've always been doing this.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine.
It's pretty scary your first time. Casey, you used to do shifts.
I did. I was terrible at it. You know, it's so funny because before I ever knew Chuck D'Amico, our assistant program director, he used to call me.
He used to call me at
2 o'clock in the morning.
You. Yeah, yeah.
He was working for MMR.
Yeah.
And he was razzing you, right?
Uh-huh. He'd be like, I would just, hey, Y100, you suck! Click.
Wow, Chuck was a troll.
Yeah.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he loves MMR,
but
man.
Then finally the hair grew in on his back.
And he calmed down after that.
He was a great guy. He was carrying the flag for MMR at the time.
Yeah, he was. Absolutely. So congratulations to Max, and we're very, very happy for you. Hey, welcome to Monday, gang. Word of the Week prize. I haven't even looked at this. Let's see what we have for our prize. We have a VIP 4-pack of tickets and pit passes for the Gander Outdoors 400 at Pocono Raceway. That's going to be on the 27th through the 29th. It's a huge NASCAR race weekend. So we're going to give that away to you. We'll do the letter of the day at the end of today's show. On the horizon as well this week, as we mentioned, the Belly Flop competition is taking place. The championships
at Valley Forge Casino Resort, the Valley Beach Poolside.
And the weather looks to be perfect.
Thursday is sunny, 87 degrees, low humidity. Ooh. So, yeah. We've had it in years past where it's been
stifling.
300 degrees.
Yeah.
And that's nice, being around the pool and everything. Yeah, but not everybody goes in the pool. So this will be perfect as of now. So hopefully that weather will hold. But we're looking forward to it. It's a free event. So if you're 21 years or older and you want to see a bit of a spectacle and want to come out and hang with us, and we invite you, it's from 6 to 8, so right after work, head on over there, hang out, have a few cocktails, and if you want to gamble, you want to swim, whatever you got, they got it covered at Valley Forge.
I know a number of people have already gotten rooms in preparation for the, they're going to hang the night. Yeah, do the whole thing.
Excellent. So that's coming up, and so is the Tour de Shore. We're going to get some information with Casey and some friends that are stopping by today. You have a couple of fundraising events, Case?
I do. I have one on, say, I wanted to have like a family-friendly event, and yes, that's going to be on Wednesday at Pinocchio's Pizza in Media. And that's from noon to 10. And it's just, go out to eat there. And we have a flyer on PrestonandSteve.com. In fact, I'm probably going to print some up, because you actually have to present the flyer in order for this to happen. Because what they'll do is they'll staple the flyer to the receipt when they hand the receipt in at the end of their shift.
All right.
I'm talking about the servers.
Yes.
20% of your bill will go towards the Irish Pub Children's Foundation.
It's been forever since I've been out to Pinocchio, so I'm going to go out and...
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
The best Tremoli,
great pizza,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Casey, when are you going to debut the jerseys?
I'm waiting.
Okay.
I'm waiting.
Because they are awesome.
They are awesome. I want to debut them with like actual model quality models.
Yes.
Okay. So I have a beautiful woman who's going to.
Why, Jasmine?
It's Kathy.
Yeah.
She's going
Wait,
to.
Wait, do you want to get Calendar Girls to do it?
I would rather have you. Oh, I'm a calendar girl, whatever.
You can see how excited Kathy was.
Okay. And then I'm also going to get an Armani male model to model my other jerseys. Nice.
Well, they do look really cool.
They do look great. I'm really excited about them.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah. And that's your family-friendly event. What about your non-family-friendly event?
Non-family-friendly.
Risque.
It's next Tuesday. It's just a happy hour at the Irish Pub at 20th and Walnut. Come by between 6 and 8. It's also an event for my teammates to come and get their packets and their jerseys and all that stuff. They can do it earlier than everybody else.
So. Excellent.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So we'll talk to some powers that be that are coming in for that this morning. So we have those things and more on the way. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second, give you your entertainment roundup and stupid question. We have got some movie passes and things that we'll give away through the course of the morning as well. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Preston and Steve on the...
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off. And here's what you get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 all beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet. And for this deal, you get 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Steven makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I love it when people tell us that we put a smile on their face in the morning, and I appreciate it when you do the same thing for us, not unlike this text that I got that just kind of made me happy, and I'll read it to you guys.
Please.
Verbatim. How many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob Lowe's?
That's very good.
That made me kind of
and
happy.
That's a functional statement.
How many
question.
How many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob Lowe's?
Thank you very much, Mr. Texter.
I'm going to think about that.
I appreciate that. So, stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for Summerfest Live at Xfinity Live, which is going to be this Saturday. And this is one that we came up with this off air last week, and I saved it. I wrote it down. The movie City Slickers.
Yes.
What was the name of the two ice cream entrepreneurs that were in that film? 215-263-WMMR. They're characters, anyway.
I love those guys.
They weren't real-life ice cream entrepreneurs, but what were their names in the movie City Slickers? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We'll see if you know the answer. Today's birthdays on Monday, July 16th. And there's some really good ones here. Include Will Ferrell.
Oh.
And Will is 51 years old today.
I was just watching the Step Brothers outtakes again last night. Were you?
No, not last night. But Nick had sent that article over about, it was an interview with all the people from Step Brothers. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to watch this. And then I ended up falling into a hole of bloopers.
When you do it, when you watch it, try to watch it, call it up on demand or something. Because it's solid, even with the edits, but without the edits, it's much better.
Yeah. So Will is turning 51 years old today. Ed Kowalczyk, lead singer of the band Live, and they patched all their bad issues up and got back together, and that's cool, man.
It sounded great.
Yeah.
It's got to be good to have, when you have something like that looming over you, it's like a dark cloud that always follows you. You have this band. Obviously, they're friends and can be friends.
Yeah.
And they just had to put the BS behind them and move forward.
And they made a run at it without Ed and kind of, meagerly, kept working. But with him, he was, the heart and soul of the band back in. It's cool to see those guys back together. So he's celebrating his 47th birthday today. It's also Corey Feldman's birthday.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Narrow mystery. They never come too soon. I do the sound because I can't really sing. Oh my God.
So I do the gravel thing. God, there's that clip from the two Corys where it's his anniversary and the girlfriend that he's now broken up with comes home and there's rose petals all the way out to the pool outside the house. He's there with his band, gonna sing her a song.
Yep.
No one has the guts to tell him it's wrong.
It's just hopelessly mediocre. That's all there is to it. It's not like it's so sour that you hear it and you go, oh, dear God. It's just so weak and it's just mediocre.
Here's what I like in it, too. Matt O'Donnell is a really solid drummer.
Yeah.
But he's a news anchor.
Yeah.
If you were to stop that to go be a drummer, wouldn't everyone try to talk him out of it?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
I would think so.
But I remember, and I was thinking of this, and I'm not going to name the band. But, well, he wouldn't even know the band anyway. But we were here at the radio station, and every now and again, you bring some bands in, and we were in the conference room, and there was a band who hadn't hit yet, and they're here are some hoagies, and listen to their CD. And again, it was mediocre, but the lead singer was there, and he was like, we're going to be the next rock. And I just remember, I'm like, oh, you poor thing. And his bandmates are probably there going, dude, shut up.
Shut up. Dude, we're going to rock it. We're going to be like top of the tops. Rock!
And I'm like, no.
Yeah,
no,
I don't. What you are is free lunch right now.
And thank you for the hoagie. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. That's why we're here, in case you did not know.
That's how Corey feels about his music.
Yeah, you normally don't want to dissuade people, but you do want to dissuade Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Some feel that confidence gives you a bit of an edge as well.
Nah.
Not always. Not at the talent.
Sometimes an edge gives you a bit of an edge.
Corey Feldman is 47 today. A friend of the show and a champion in the world of soccer, Carly Lloyd.
Yes.
Local gal is celebrating her 37th birthday today.
Motivational speaker.
She's a fellow endorser of Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Her and I have that in common.
You share hands and stones and massages.
Yes. So she's 37 today, which is cool.
Still playing on the team, by the way?
I don't know, man. I was just trying to figure out how many gold medals she's won because she is one of the most accomplished scorers in U.S. women's soccer history.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Phoebe Cates. Amazingly beautiful, awesome, and actress and wife of Kevin Klein. She doesn't really do anything anymore as far as acting.
Not that I've seen, no. I think she's very happy being a mom and whatever else she does.
Yep, still considered one of the greatest cinematic moments as far as sexiness goes when she takes the bikini top off in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
It's a great scene, too, when Judge Reinhold is in the bathroom Take Care of Business.
Is this the song that's playing?
Yeah, this is it. Yep. Yeah,
this is Moving in Stereo from the Cars. So
you know how cute I always thought you were, Brad.
Oh, my God.
And then, doesn't anyone knock?
Yeah.
I was watching a movie with Forest Whitaker the other day, and my buddy's like, Forest Whitaker's never been in anything that I've ever liked. I go, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He's like, I've never seen it.
Wow. Like, that's a big mistake.
How can you be a 40-year-old man and never see this movie? Right.
So Phoebe is celebrating her 55th birthday today. And the last birthday that I have on the list is a drummer and one of my favorites. It is the birthday of Mr. Stuart Copeland of the Police. That is correct. Celebrating his 66th birthday today. And he's definitely one of my favorite influences. Guy can play the crap out of it. I love this opening lick right here. He's a great aggressive drummer.
So he kind of brought, and I'm probably wrong with this, he brought sort of a ska drumming technique to rock, correct?
Ska and reggae. And
right.
Yeah, I mean, it was the way that he put it to us. We spoke to him years and years ago. He's like, look, Sting is the star. Sting
wrote
the music. These songs are his. But me and Andy made a great envelope for him to put that letter in.
Yeah.
That awesome, you know, creation in. But yeah, he's unique. No question. He took that reggae beat and he worked it into rock music. And
he also wrote the theme to the TV series, The Equalizer.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Nice.
Which is one of my favorites. Yeah.
Wow. He's a hell of a talent. And he is celebrating his 66th birthday today. But he's a bit of a head case. Like Sting.
And he admits it.
Very confrontational.
You have these two very big egos.
Yeah.
And they went at it like brothers.
He's not an outright like jerk to people or anything like that, but he's a big personality.
He's confident.
He's very confident, exactly. And he can back it up on like Corey Feldman.
I can see you. Hey, Stuart, you want to work on a project? It's Corey. Why are you talking like that?
So I'm sure Pierre's going to be playing some Police today. I'll have a couple
and some
of
Corey Feldman, no play, doubt.
I have a couple of requests. What's that, Case?
How does he spell his name? UART or EW?
EW. Yeah, that's a good question.
It's EWART.
Yeah, Stuart. STEWART. Stuart.
Stuart.
I'm looking for that. I thought
the birthday greeting for me.
I was looking for a 2, Case. I can't find it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Do you have the theme to The Equalizer? That would help.
We'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. In the movie City Slickers, what was the name of the two ice cream entrepreneurs in the film? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to, let me see here. Let's go to Tom, see if we can get the answer from him. Hey, Tom, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, buddy. Do you know the name of the two ice cream entrepreneurs?
Yep, it's Ira and Barry's Ice Cream.
Yeah, Ira and Barry, yes. Shalowitz. Ira and Barry Shalowitz, playoff from Ben and Jerry's, obviously. But they have the they have that duel of sorts what's the word I'm looking for? Showdown,
yeah.
With Billy Crystal about what kind of ice cream you want to serve at dinner. So you got it right. Hang on the line, Tom. We're going to get your information. We are going to give you a pair of tickets for Summerfest Live. That's at Xfinity Live this Saturday. And you can visit XfinityLive.com to learn more.
Good morning, Preston. You can kiss my ass.
There you go. That's Stuart Copeland. Thank you, Stuart. So some birthdays, not birthdays, the box office. We already did birthdays. Number one was Hotel Transylvania with $44.1 million.
That was sort of a surprise considering what else was opening up this weekend. You're going to get to it, but yeah.
Yeah, Ant-Man and the Wasp came in second. And then, yes, everybody was expecting Skyscraper with Dwayne The Rock Johnson to hit number one, but it did not. It only made $25.5 million for a third place finish.
$25 million during the summer. I think part of the problem might be, at this point, oversaturation.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Every time you turn around, there's a Dwayne Johnson movie coming out. It seems like Rampage, which was the last one that was out about a month ago.
Well, and it's an action movie. He just did an action movie.
Yeah.
If you're going to overload it with Dwayne Johnson, maybe, because he can do comedy as well.
Absolutely.
Head in a different direction. You know what I mean?
I don't recall really even seeing any ads for this thing, to tell you the truth.
I do. Yeah. They put a decent push on it. You know, you didn't see the shot of him running off the edge of the crane and jumping towards the building on fire. That wasn't...
But you know what? I may have, but I may have thought it was some other...
One of the other 400
Dwayne
movies.
Dwayne Johnson movie that I missed out on. It's just, it's too much, you know? But hey, he got the check and he's good to go.
Yeah.
It was not expected to do perform.
I think he should be in The Danish Girl 2.
Okay.
Right?
Incredibles 2 is fourth, followed by Jurassic World, The First Purge, Sorry to Bother You at 7, Sicario, Day of the Soldado.
The salad.
And then Uncle Drew and Ocean's 8 rounded out the top 10. Well, after serious heat, Scarlett Johansson has backed out of her starring role in Rub and Tug, in which she was set to play a transgender man. We talked about this recently. The trans community responded enthusiastically, hailing her decision and a new era in Hollywood. This is according to GLAAD president and CEO Sarah Kate Ellis. She said in a statement, Hollywood changed how Americans understand gay and lesbian lives, and TV is starting to do the same for transgender people, with authentic transgender portrayals being major hits with critics and audiences. The film industry has a real opportunity to do the same. Johansson released a statement to Out.com saying that she was motivated to exit the Rupert Sanders film in light of recent ethical questions raised surrounding my casting. And Rub and Tug depicts the true story of Dante Tex Gill, who owned massage and prostitution parlors in Pittsburgh in the 1970s. I remember saying I'd never heard the story.
Neither did I,
before.
No.
But apparently was a big world in there, or a big name in that world. So she's bailing out on that particular role.
So where does the production stand at this point?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do they have anybody cast? I assume since they're going to go for legitimacy, they have to audition a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, if they Caitlin? Have anybody. I haven't seen anything about names being mentioned for the role.
I can't, because I'm a dude who became a girl.
That's right.
Oh, it's the other way around.
I think that's what this story's about.
Several prominent Me Too advocates, including Rose McGowan, Terry Crews, Anthony Rapp, Mira Sorvino, Rosanna Arquette, Paz de la Huerta, and Natasha Henstridge, have published an open letter in the Los Angeles Times defending Asia Argento after trolls actually lashed out at her following her boyfriend Anthony Bourdain's suicide last month.
For saying that she had a hand in a mental state that led to his suicide? That's a pretty cruel thing.
That's a very cruel thing. And some people just like to be dicks.
Well, why even respond to it, though, when you know they're just trolls and that's all they're looking for? You're almost giving legitimacy to their BS.
I don't know. Did she respond?
No, but these people who did wrote the open letter.
Yeah, this is an open letter.
Yeah.
It says, one of the most vocal and unwavering figures in the Me Too movement has been Asia Argento. The open letter states, describing the vicious cyberbullying and repulsive slander that she has been a victim of, including being blamed for his death, and claims that she is levying the Me Too movement for fame. I don't know, Steve. I guess sometimes, you know, I know it's better to not respond, but sometimes I think it can make you so
angry,
sick.
Yeah.
You know, that you just would feel irresponsible if you didn't say something, you know.
I see that.
They went on to say, we are here to ask those who are angry and grieving the loss of Anthony to find a healthy outlet for your pain. Aja is a survivor, just as we are, and her fame and outward show of strength does not make her any less vulnerable. Aja is not a headline. She is a human being, and she is in horrific pain. Argento was one of the first women to share her sexual assault story, by the way, with The New Yorker, claiming the widely accused harasser Harvey Weinstein assaulted her in 1997. So some people have an issue with that for some reason or another.
And there are people who actually don't even have an issue with it, who just want to stir up crap. And so they do that. That's what they do.
Harvey Weinstein, speaking of him, was misquoted in a published article claiming that he admitted to offering jobs to actresses in exchange for sexual favors.
Ooh, that could have hurt his image.
His attorney, Ben Brafman, said on Friday. Brafman said that he was present for the conversation between Weinstein.
Thanks for catching that, buddy, before it hit the papers.
And the journalist, and the Oscar-winning producer never made such an admission. Now, the journalist who penned the piece, which was published in Spectator magazine on Friday, is Takei Theodorakopoulos, not Dorakopoulos. look at this, Casey.
All right.
See if you can pronounce it.
Takei Theodorakopoulos.
Theodorakopoulos, thank you. Issued a statement admitting that the article was, let me see, quote, he said, after 41 years as a Spectator Columnist without a single retraction. I believe that I may have misrepresented Harvey Weinstein's conversation with me in New York last month. It was my mistake. We were discussing Hollywood, and I may have misunderstood certain things about the methods of that place.
This is George Takei Acropolis writing this?
That's him. I had nothing to do with the headline of my article, and I hope that I have not damaged his case. It was, after all, a social visit.
See, with the name, I know I should be focusing it on the impact of the story, but I'm thinking when you have a name that hard to pronounce, you may want to shorten it up considering the business he's in.
Theo.
You
know?
Like, yeah.
Takei Theo.
Takei Theo.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, but you know, once you get to know the name, it's not that difficult to pronounce.
I don't want to get to know that name.
Theodorakopoulos.
It sounds like a Greek prehistoric creature.
The article quoted Weinstein thusly, saying, I did offer women acting jobs in exchange for sex, but so did and still does everyone. He also claimed in the article that Weinstein called him up and told him, I've got a world exclusive for you. Are you interested? So that's apparently not
buddy.
What Harvey yeah. said.
Buddy, it's Harvey. I'm ready to spill. Yeah, get on right. over here.
But it also sounds like his name is Theodorakopoulos, yeah, not Takei Theo.
Yeah, man, there's something going on here, and we need to get to the bottom of it.
I mean, his whole last name is Theodorakopoulos.
Right.
I just like saying Theodorakopoulos.
I noticed that. Hey, George Clooney continued to walk on his own just days after being released from the hospital due to a nasty crash. Although he's clearly hurting. There's footage of him slowly making his way off of his private jet on Sunday after it touched down in Rome, where he's reportedly set to resume filming his new Hulu series, Catch 22.
How do you carry on after an injury like that when you get off your private jet in Rome?
He's got a hell of a limp going on, but the actor is fighting through the pain to get to where he's got to be.
Well, you take a whole lot of Bengay.
Yeah.
And you you put it on top of a whole bunch of $100 bills.
And rub
and,
those
and then
on.
You rub those in. Yes.
Yeah, it's but God bless the fact that he and if you ever watch the video, if you get a chance, that is a full yeah. on it's, collision.
It's yep. scary.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Surprising no one, the Kardashian family's nanny says that she didn't have a cushy gig. Pam Bien worked as a nanny for the Kardashian crew in the 1990s before Kourtney, Kim, Khloe and Rob were household names. For an upcoming episode of Scandal Made Me Famous, Bien talks about how she became a quasi-member of the family, walking them through major milestones, including Kim's first date and Kris Jenner's relationship with Caitlyn Jenner before she came out as transgender.
Should I wear women's clothes?
In a clip shared with People, she confesses that Kris was a control freak. She said, I liked Kris and I respected her for many reasons. She was not easy to work for because she was a perfectionist and she expected perfection.
And this woman was the nanny to all of them?
Yeah.
Huh.
Or at least, yeah.
One of the nannies.
For the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
For Kris. And she said, on a daily basis, when she has a very long list and you're fighting L.A. traffic and taking kids to their events and maybe possibly not everything on the list gets done, there were a few moments where I got an earful.
I'm going to kill you.
But before Kris became the world's most famous momager, she was so broke that she couldn't afford a tomato.
What would she get instead? A cucumber?
I don't know.
These are cheaper.
With Fox.
How do you like the tomato salad? These are cucumbers. Shut up.
In a new interview with Fox News' Objectified, it aired on Sunday, she says that when she and Robert Kardashian Sr. divorced, he cut off her credit cards. Kris said, I didn't have anything. I went to the market one day and my credit card didn't work. I had a market credit card and I'm like, I can't even buy a tomato.
I recorded this. This was last night. I'm curious to see what the story is because she also talks about, you know, some people say she absolutely knew what was going on with Bruce Jenner and other people, including her, say she really didn't have that fully realized a perception of what was going on.
What is this just an interview with Kris?
Yeah, the guy who runs TMC, Harry Levin, right? That's his name?
Harvey
Levin?
Yeah.
So he has this show called Objectified, and he sits down with these celebrities, and Kris Jenner is the full hour.
Okay. She also gave insight into the affair with a professional soccer player, which Ooh. Compelled Robert Sr. to file for divorce, calling it one of her biggest regrets.
Was it Pele?
No.
Was it Sylvester Stallone in Victory?
I can't say definitively if it's not Pele, okay. to be honest, because I don't know the story.
I played soccer in a movie.
We'll make it. Yeah, Stallone.
Yeah.
He was a goaltender.
A goaltender.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Kim Kardashian episode of Scandal Made Me Famous, by the way, premieres on Saturday on the Reels channel.
Oh, cannot wait.
Kate Middleton, Duchess of Cambridge, and sister-in-law Meghan Markle, Duchess of Sussex, hit the town solo for the first time. The ladies attended the Wimbledon ladies single final together Saturday to cheer on Meghan's pal Serena Williams as she duked it out against Angelique Kerber. Kate wore an adorable midi Jenny Packham dress, nude heels, and drop earrings. Kathy, what are nude heels?
Like a shoe, you mean?
Yeah. You can see nipples.
The color, nude.
What are nude heels? Yes.
A color.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, nude is a color?
They're shoes.
Yes.
Oh. I figured they were shoes.
I didn't know what you were talking about. I didn't know you didn't know what nude meant. Yeah, just a nude color shoe.
I thought
all
it was a style.
No, color.
They are lovely together. I was looking at pictures of them together. They clearly enjoy each other's company. Again, this is the new face of the monarchy, and we like it.
Meghan donned a blue and white striped Ralph Lauren shirt, wide-legged Ralph Lauren pants, and a white Maison Michel Virginie hat. But there's trouble in paradise, according to a new article in The Sun featuring an interview with Meghan's chatty father, Thomas. The 73-year-old tells the paper that behind all of Meghan's smiles is deep-seated anxiety.
She's out of her mind. She's a crazy bitch.
Thomas attributes her nerves to the high demands of royal life and the constant pressure and glare of the spotlight.
I'm sure Dad is completely plugged into what's going on with the monarchy.
He added that he'd love to speak to her, but that he has been unable to since...
You keep telling me I'm too stupid.
Since one brief conversation after her wedding to Harry, he said, the phone number that I call doesn't work anymore.
They gave him the wrong number?
Yes, it's a 610-433-2121. Do you have that?
It's 867-5309.
867-5309. All right, I'm going to call right now. 1 second. I want to talk to my daughter.
I want her buried.
Hi, I'm Jenny, and I just turned 18, and I've never been hornier.
Hello, there's Meghan there.
So he told The Sun in an on-camera interview, liaison with the royal family never answers back. And there's no address I can write to, so I have no way of contacting my daughter.
There's probably some phone in Buckingham Palace with an answering machine where you're, hello? Mm-hmm. Pick up. This is Meghan's father. Pick up.
Yeah.
Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Don't answer that phone.
It's just one dedicated phone.
I'll talk to my daughter.
Mm-hmm. So he says he can't reach her at all. I wonder how long that will last.
It's got to be frustrating.
Yeah. Kate Upton is expecting her first child with her new husband, Justin Verlander, who she got married to in November. The 26-year-old model tagged a shot of herself wearing a red pantsuit in front of a sunny backdrop.
Nude heels.
That said, pregnant in Miami. You know, and you know what's funny is because quickly it's tiny print in my entertainment report this morning, and at first glance I thought it said pregnant martini. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, two pregnant martinis,
yeah, two
please.
Pregnant martinis.
With extra onion.
Yeah. This brings up a problem I have with hashtagging, which is the hashtag is all one word, pregnant in Miami, except that she does not capitalize the I in in.
Yeah, so I try to capitalize each word.
So it looks like pregnantin.
Yeah, pregnant in Miami or pregnant martini.
Pregnant martini.
She's already curvy when momness sets upon her.
Look at the cleavage in this picture.
Yeah.
I can't look at anything but the cleavage.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Good for you.
She's definitely going to get
big honkers.
Bit more buxom.
Kathy likes her outfit.
Do you like her outfit?
Yeah, she's wearing her outfit. Yeah.
She actually, I think, my wife has said so as well, she has a good fashion sense here.
She's like going back to your Westchester days with that little boost up there.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to help us get drinks.
I was like, where's he going?
Let's go with
this?
Kathy. She gets lots of drinks.
Uh-huh.
Help us.
Bring your breasts.
Never paid for a drink the entire time I was there.
All right, so Saturday night's Comedy Central roast of Die Hard star Bruce Willis got an unexpected visit this is great.
It's awesome.
I really want to see this because they brought out Demi Moore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and when's the last time you saw her?
First off, she looked pretty good in the picture I saw. Yeah, she's standing there. Willis is howling.
Yeah.
I'm sure, the joke she said there, right?
No, I don't. Well, I mean, yeah, there's a joke about the Sixth Sense.
Yeah, yeah.
In the middle of the ceremony, Toast Maestro Joseph Gordon-Levitt introduced Moore, who promptly dragged him for his age, music, bald head, and their marriage. And in fact, she said, "I look at our marriage like the Sixth Sense. You were dead the whole time."
That's a great line.
Willis's current wife, Emma Heming, laughed along, as did Moore and Willis's daughters, Rumor, Tallulah, and Scout. The Roast is coming out on the 29th on Comedy Central.
I am so looking forward to this. And does this tie into, when is the release for Glass?
Next year.
All right.
January, right?
They usually tie these things into a movie release. I don't know. Maybe he's got something else coming out.
Hey, it's been almost 2 years since, speaking of this event, since they got engaged, but David Hasselhoff's wedding to Haley Roberts is nearly upon us. Hasselhoff spoke to E.T. on Saturday at Bruce Willis's Comedy Central roast. So he was there, and so was E.T. apparently, about his upcoming nuptials.
I'm having fun.
After a 2 year. I was just thinking about that last week. They spoke to E.T. E.T. is a correspondent now?
You're entertaining. Reese's Pieces.
After a 2 year engagement to Roberts, the happy couple began dating in 2011 after he met her in a UK hotel while he was working as a judge on Britain's Got Talent.
Fun fact, I was a botanist.
Hasselhoff revealed that the two will tie the knot on July 31st in southern Italy at a small ceremony.
Huh.
So it's coming up very soon.
We're looking at a picture of him kissing his bride. It looks like a sexual assault. Who is that he's with? Is that his bride or his...
Yeah. I'm just saying it, but it looks like...
Yeah, his granddaughter.
She's young enough to be his granddaughter.
Jesus Christ. Come on, baby. I was a Knight Rider.
The age difference is it's not crazy. He's 65, she's 37, but she looks much, much younger than he does. So from there, we're going to go to the Maldives. Is that how you pronounce it?
The Maldives?
Maldives, wow. Thank you. And he said, we'll stay underwater for about 2 weeks. Hasselhoff was already wearing a wedding ring at the Comedy Central event. He explained that he had it, it had both practical and purpose. And held a very special meaning to him. He said, this ring that I've got is really special. It's my mom and dad's, and I wear it for luck, and I wear it for remembrance. And so I thought, you know, it's nice. I don't have to go out and get another ring. I'll just keep this one.
Cheap bastard.
He said he was hesitant to attend the roast, but he said, you know what? I was kind of on the fence about coming because I've done this before. It's pretty brutal because everybody gets picked on at these events.
It's part of the deal.
He said, and she walked in the room dressed like that, and I said, we're going.
Yeah.
So that's coming up on the 29th once again, and you will see David Hasselhoff there. Let's see. Oh, Yvette Nicole Brown.
Yes.
Is going to take over the season 9 preview special for The Walking Dead. And it's after show Fear the Walking Dead. Deadline reports Brown will be taking over for Chris Hardwick. Of course, he had those issues with accusations. She is handling his panels at Comic-Con as well. And
so she'll be hosting Talking Dead?
Mm-hmm. I believe so. Well, it says here, take over the season 9 preview special of The Walking Dead. So maybe not Talking Dead. This is a preview special.
Because it seems to me, and you've been reporting on it, Preston, that there's been enough that's come out that suggests that it may not be all that we heard initially from this woman who posted this stuff about Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. By the way, yes, it says here that she will be taking on Talking Dead when it returns following the premiere of Fear the Walking Dead on August 12th. And they said it will do this as we work to complete our assessment related to Chris Hardwick.
Okay. Well, I hope that if they do and they find out that he's that they clear him, that they give him back the gig.
Yeah, sure. I agree. By the way, when is The Walking Dead coming out?
Usually premieres around Halloween, right? September, October?
Interim host of The Walking Dead Season 9 preview special on August 5th. Fear the Walking Dead on August 12th. So maybe it's a little bit earlier.
Well, that's Fear the Walking Dead, and then there's The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I said. Interim guest host of The Walking Dead Season 9 preview special on August 5th.
Okay.
So if there's a preview special coming out, hopefully the
Walking Dead
series will start shortly after that. But I do not
Did you get it all into Fear of the Walking Dead?
Haven't touched it.
I did initially, and then I kind of veered away from it. And it seems now that they're incorporating people from the past in Walking Dead who may have died, who were alive during this time, and they're incorporating them into the series. So my feeling is maybe I'll check it out.
I'm just going to watch The Walking Dead, and when it's all buttoned up and done, if I haven't gotten enough of that, then I'll go and check out the Fear of the Walking Dead.
Right.
Because it'll all be around for you to watch, right?
It started off pretty strong, and then it just kind of it bogged down a little bit, and then I just said, oh, man, I've got enough Walking Dead in my life.
I have other zombie news.
Yes.
Jim Jarmusch's zombie comedy, The Dead Don't Die, is bringing the big guns for the Focus Features film. And it will be Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton, Adam Driver, Steve Buscemi, and Chloe Sevigny, all of whom have worked with him before. And they will star in The Dead Don't Die. Selena Gomez will also top line the film.
This is interesting. Did you hear, by the way, they're doing a sequel to
Zombieland 2 is ready to get to go after almost a decade of ever-increasing buzz. Plus, The Hollywood Reporter, according to them, Sony Pictures is set to reunite the cast, including Emma Stone, Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Abigail Breslin, Ruben everybody's on board.
Loved That's that great. Movie. Did you enjoy that movie?
I never saw it.
Oh, you would love
it. I think
it.
You would
especially
like it.
Especially now in light of The Walking Dead and all that stuff.
Good, because at the time, the whole zombie idea thing, I was just like, no. I've seen enough zombie movies in my lifetime, and I eventually came around to The Walking Dead, and it took me a good season to really get invested in it.
So where this
and now I like it.
Where this happens, I don't know, Case, do you think at this point, now that he's... Because
I enjoyed it.
It sort of hit earlier on.
Yeah.
I think it's a funny movie. Bill Murray is in it, Preston, in Zombieland. He won't be back. Because he gets killed, spoiler alert. But it was just a very funny, very well done movie.
Yeah, I've seen some of it. I've seen segments of it, and I've seen the parts with Bill Murray playing Bill Murray, in his house and everything. And but I think now would be a good time to go back and watch that. So maybe I should do it. And then the sequel, they're working on it. Let's see, two other quick things. Evan Rachel Wood and Sterling K. Brown are in talks to join Disney's Frozen 2.
Wow.
Yeah. And, of course, directors Jennifer Lee and Chris Buck are returning, along with stars Idina Menzel, Kristen Bell, and Josh Gad. The release date is not set until November 27th of 2019.
That's a polarizing movie.
Do you think so?
Yeah, a lot of people don't like Frozen. Case, you're not a big fan of Frozen, right?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't.
Well... I thought you just liked Tangled better. It's not that it was...
I did like Tangled better, and I don't understand all the accolades that it gets, and I don't understand why it was such a huge movie. I just don't.
I think it's a good movie. Yeah. It's not my favorite, but it's good. But it was propelled, I think, in large part from the music. The songs were
songs
very...
are catchy.
Yeah.
Little girls love it.
Yeah,
what are you gonna do?
And I'm a Let It Go. Yeah. I don't really think it's that great of a song. It's a big song.
I freaking love it.
It's a big song. Let it
go. I like every single song in that movie.
Do You Want to Build a Snowman is a real tearjerker, I think.
Yep. The whole thing. I love every single song in that movie. So not till November 27, 2019, so it's a ways away. And then one last thing, season 3 is a go on Netflix for Queer Eye. Our production is set to begin very soon with plans for a bow in 2019. Host Antoni Porowski, Bobby Burke, Karamo Brown, Jonathan Van Ness, and Tan France.
I like that Sandy Duncan series, One Eye.
What's that? I'm still hung up on Tan France.
Tan France. Who's I think Tan is an Asian name, right?
I think it is, yeah. Or a skin color.
It's like a nude show.
Yeah. It will return to the Emmy Award nominated show. They will all return to the Emmy Award nominated show. So it is a go. Why don't we do the clips this morning? How about that? The Bachelorette is winding down to its last few episodes.
I love you.
It's no surprise that the season star has been under scrutiny for faking situations. But here, Becca Kerfin explains that nothing is scripted.
You know, for me, everything I did and said was me. And I know that people think at times I'm told to say something and it's just all me. And a lot of times I cringe because I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. But yeah, it's real.
Shut the f*** up!
New episode of The Bachelorette airs tonight, 8 p.m. on ABC. Let's do the next clip. Big Brother is full of epic challenges, making contestants battle to keep their spot in the house each week. Here, Chris Swaggy C. Williams.
Chris Swaggy C. Williams
talks about what he is willing to do to stay in the competition.
I'll do anything in the game to get me further. I don't care how vicious it is. Like, I'm going to do whatever I can. Like, what is, like, manipulating people. Whatever I can do to get further in the game, I'm going to do. Nothing is off limits.
What the f*** is this?
New episodes of Big Brother air Sundays at 8 p.m., and that's on CBS. I can't believe that show. It's season 20,
I have no idea who's in this cast. Oh, no. I have no idea what they're doing. I haven't seen one second of it, and I'm actually good with that.
I haven't known who's in the cast since the first season. I was just like, I thought it fizzled out, but people are on board.
But not only are they on board, they'll watch the online portion, so that their camera's on all the time, and they'll pay a premium service to just watch them all freaking day.
Yep. All right. And there you go. That's your entertainment report. Listen, we got entertainment for you tonight. We have a movie screening of The Equalizer 2, and it is at the UA Riverview. It will be at 7:30. You will need to be there no later than 7 if you are one of the next five callers at 215-263-WMMR. We will put you in the theater for that. I'm excited to see this movie.
Did you see the coming attraction where he says, my only regret is that I'll only get to kill them once?
Yeah. No, I didn't see that. Love it. Call now, 215-263-WMMR. Going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment on this Monday morning with you.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Seether. Chris Stapleton. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, there was an article that came out a little while back I found kind of interesting, and it was stating that more than one-third of paramedics have reported being assaulted while on the job during the past 12 months.
Oh, that sucks.
One third.
It's not like the job is tough enough. You're getting assaulted.
And this was done, by the way, across. This is done internationally, so it's not just in the U.S. It's all over the world. Medical officers have called for better training and cooperation with police and improved education as a way to prevent future assaults. And the first international study looking at paramedic assaults. The study surveyed about 1,778 paramedics from 13 different countries. Of them, 633 reported being assaulted in the past year, and 203 of those said the incident could have been prevented.
Friend of mine years ago, paramedic, all the time, getting into fights and scuffles, you know, at the scene where he's responding
you're just
to take care
to
of someone.
Exactly.
And somebody there, a relative or somebody.
Well, it's funny. You hear about people that are overdosing on heroin and then they get the Narcan and then they come to and they get pissed off. It's like, dude, you're
start
about
swinging.
To die.
Yeah.
You're about to die. But intern Joe, he's a paramedic now, or an EMT. I don't know if there's a difference between.
Yes, there's a difference.
Okay.
Yes, there's a big difference.
Big difference?
A paramedic can prescribe medications, I believe. So, or not prescribe. Now, I'm
can make them in his basement.
You'd better call now, because otherwise we're gonna muck it up left and right.
Call us.
But yes, there's a difference.
There is a big difference. I understand that.
Yeah.
I just don't know what the difference is.
One of them can use a parachute and the other one cannot.
They're saying that and listen, sometimes it happens that you just have a confused person, somebody who is who's been injured is
they don't know.
Yeah, they can be
flailing.
Yeah, exactly. So it happens. So self-defense equipment and resources were mentioned as a potential solution by multiple respondents in the survey, such as restraints for violent patients, as well as ketamine for those who do not respond to drugs such as Valium.
We talk about police showing up at the scene. Something's happened. You don't know what's going on. You have these men and women showing up and, you know, the situation's already gone south. There's somebody in a dire situation.
Yeah.
And then while you're trying to take care of that person, or maybe even that person themselves, you start to get in. You're getting attacked.
Do you guys see 1517 to Paris yet, that Clint Eastwood movie?
I have not. I want to see it, though.
All right. So there are these scenes, Steve, and they use the real men who were involved in the terrorist attack on the train.
Right.
And they talk about the training that these guys go through. One guy goes through Air Force paramedic training. And this is just the training exercises, and I found myself getting tense at the stuff that he was supposed to memorize, where, like, there's a clear fluid coming out of a victim's brain or a victim's ears because there's been a brain injury, and the ability to discern what's happening while something tragic and awful is happening at the same time and then react properly.
I would collapse.
I don't. It takes an ability that is foreign to me.
The greatest service I've done to humanity is not become a paramedic or an EMT.
I mean, you know,
I've
how to
saved
do a
more lives by knowing I'm stupid.
You could do a trach, right?
Yeah, the tracheotomy is my specialty. With a pen? If you need that, with the big pen.
I'm going to go to Tony. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
I like turtles.
Yes, yeah,
nice. Tony, you are an EMT.
Yes, and I actually work where you live there, Preston.
Oh. Excellent.
In your house.
In your basement. He's inside the house.
Lower Salford, I assume?
In the Harleysville area, yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right, cool. So what's up? What's the difference here between EMTs and paramedics?
So EMTs what we call basic. We can do basic life safety. We can stop bleeding, stuff like that. Paramedic is where we give out medications for various things, nausea, heart medicine. When you're overdosing, we can do that. Seizures, we can give seizure, you know, to reverse the seizures and stuff like that.
So so when a call goes in, I mean, obviously questions are asked, and then at that point they know whether to send EMT workers or paramedics, correct?
So most of the squads, the ambulances in the area, especially in Montgomery County, are what we call our ALS trucks. They're paramedic and EMT. It doesn't matter what call you're going on. There's always a medic and there's always an EMT.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then we switch off depending on what we find on the scene. Like some calls are dispatch, just BLS, just basic. You got toe pain. Guess what? The EMT is riding that in. Other ones, you're having chest pain, a heart attack. Guess what? The medic's riding that in because they can give the medications and give the with the monitor they can do cardioversion.
Hey Tony,
with that. Yeah.
Have you ever been attacked? Have you ever been in you have. How often do you get into a physical altercation while you're responding?
Nowadays not so much. I used to work for a psychiatric truck out of the state hospital. And that was a constant occurrence. It was literally one of those daily things where you knew you're going in and at one point in your shift you're getting punched, kicked, bit, whatever. Phew. For me, it's not so much.
Have you ever had a situation where it's like, oh my God, this got super real?
So had a few of the barricaded subjects. Not necessarily in the Harleysville area, but when they come out, they usually come out. If they're not taken by police, they are coming out swinging. They are very upset. And you end up getting in the line of fire there with punches, kicks, anything.
All right. How many times have you been called to Preston's house because of a hot tub issue?
Look, I promise you I want to tell.
Don't answer that question, Tony.
Don't answer
Thanks,
that question.
Man. Appreciate it, by the
way.
We
have a man with very pruned fingers.
Hey, okay, so this is a little bit off topic, but we can go back to this in a second. But speaking of emergency crews and so forth, I went by Wawa and Skipback on Sunday morning. And there was a large group of large men in the parking lot, and they were all wearing black T-shirts. I mean, a lot of guys.
Okay.
And it looked like the steroid convention.
Huh.
These guys were freaking huge.
Really?
And they were wearing shirts that said CERT, C-E-R-T. So I went and looked that up. It's emergency response team of some sort.
Oh, I'm glad they're huge, the emergency response team guys.
I'm
here with the emergency response.
They look like the biggest group of large, unhappy men that I've ever seen in my life. They just look pissed off.
That's the way I want them.
I don't know about that. I was like not comfortable being around them.
I just have a little bit of a smile.
I'm like, wow, you guys really hate what you do.
Wait, what did you?
On the radio?
Yeah, exactly.
Figured.
Yeah.
What did you find out they were?
CERT. It's a government-funded...
It's a mouth mint.
Emergency response team.
Computer emergency response
team? No, not commute, not computer emergency
response.
That's what
modem says. Clearly has a problem with your hookup. I suggest you replace your Ethernet cable. Yes, I do steroids.
Here you go. The community emergency response team. I assume that's them.
That's probably it.
Yeah, it says...
What's going on over there in Harleysville?
I don't know, man. They were all over. They were crawling all over the place.
People have suggested something right here on text.
Oh, Teams is for the Greaterford prisoner transfer.
Yeah, I'd be pissed off, too.
So they have built... You guys know I live right by Greaterford Prison.
Yes, because of the schools.
They built a... Yeah, of course. They built a whole new facility there.
All right.
An entirely new prison. And my wife was actually telling me, she said, yeah, I think this weekend they're transferring all the prisoners over.
So that's probably what it was.
That's what it was.
Well, you in want fact, those guys looking mean, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know what? In fact, one of the guys had a shirt that said DOC on the back of it. That's Department of Corrections.
Uh-huh.
No wonder they didn't look happy.
Well, you can't. Listen. My brother was
they're
a corrections
be
officer.
Yeah. Thousands of prisoners from one location
you
to another.
You know how pissed off you get when you have to help a friend move?
Yeah.
Exactly. How many times you've been asked to move a prison?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, how many? God. How about a few thousand?
This end table weighs 5,000 pounds!
Hang Listen, on. That has got to be a task that you can't even imagine.
I'm going to go to Tyler. Hey, Tyler, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, not too much. I just wanted to clear things up. Sounds like you guys already got it figured out, but I used to work for the Department of Corrections, and CERT is the Corrections Emergency Response Team.
Okay.
It's like our version of not quite as heavy as SWAT, but they're an emergency response team to quell riots and
got
stuff.
It.
Dear God.
I'm telling you,
that's
Tyler,
a hell of a job.
Dude, it was a group of the biggest looking guys I've ever seen, and there had to have been.
Oh,
had
yeah,
had to have been at least 40 of them there, 35 or 40 of them there, and they were all congregating. Yeah.
Well, they were moving from SCI Greaterford to SCI Phoenix. That move required the attention of the specialty teams.
Yeah.
So I would imagine. Because of that, they were calling the teams from all different facilities to come down and facilitate the move from SCI Greaterford to SCI
Dear Phoenix. God. Tyler, the amount of work that must go into transferring a prison population to another prison must be extraordinary.
Did you say Phoenix?
Yeah. The new facility is called SCI Phoenix.
Is that in Phoenixville or is that just the name of it?
No, it's just the name of it. It's still on the same grounds as SCI Greaterford.
It's next door to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's right next door, yeah.
Yeah, so you know when you come in through Collegeville, you can see the lights of Greaterford up on the hill.
Yep.
There are brighter, whiter lights under that. That's SCI Phoenix.
Yeah, the other ones are kind of orangish yellow, and these new ones are bright white. And in fact, they finally, Tyler, had them all lit up this weekend. They had portions of them. I know it was beautiful.
Can you see the lights of Greaterford from the hot tub?
Not from the hot tub, from the front door, yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Absolutely.
So are there still inmates in the old building, or has everyone moved to the new building?
As far as I know, they put out a news release on their Facebook page last night that the final bus left Greaterford yesterday.
So, Tyler, as they're boxing up all the prisoners, what do they write on the outside of the box? The cell number, I guess, or
wow.
I mean,
the property follows them by inmate number.
Okay,
that's it. I mean.
That's heavy duty, though.
Detail through operations, you know what I mean? There's labels on boxes, and they make sure that they get the property. Everything goes over, and I wasn't there for the move, but you know everything appears to have gone very smoothly. I've been talking to people, and apparently it went through pretty much without a hitch.
If it hadn't, we would have heard of it.
That's cool because I saw these guys and I went and did a search on CERT.
Yeah,
and I saw the first thing that came up was community emergency response team. I'm like, okay, I could see it. Maybe they were training. You know, this is an emergency response team. Of course, they need big people for it, but I didn't see it was corrections. That makes more sense.
We've got a real tick situation in this town. Need 50 huge men.
Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. You have a good one.
Man, and Greaterford, I mean, that's the big house.
That's it.
That's the real deal. It's a straight-up prison.
The new facility, the reason for the new facility was to provide a spa, correct?
Of course. Yeah, of course. No wonder, because I saw these guys. It was a beautiful morning.
Yeah.
They're all up, you know, ready to go to whatever their job is, whatever doing. And, like, not one of them looked like they were ready for they looked angry.
Well,
I'm like, wow.
Now you understand.
Oh, hell yeah. They had a serious job ahead of them. They had
Dear
to be,
God.
They had to be as serious as they could be.
Or maybe they were getting into character. You know, maybe they weren't that pissed off. They just have to pretend like
they got to put on the face.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, thanks for the heads up on that. I appreciate that. Speaking of other dangerous jobs, we had mentioned that being an EMT or being a paramedic can put you in the way of assault on occasion. I did see this list of the 8 most dangerous jobs in the world.
8 most dangerous. You know, why am I perpetually fascinated by lists like this? Because it makes you appreciate, I think,
the job you have.
There's a couple of surprising...
I had a paper cut about a month ago.
There's a couple of surprising ones in here.
CPA?
To be honest, no. But like private investigator is number 8 on here.
Of course.
They often do their own work with no backup. They catch people doing terrible or even illegal acts. And some of the dangers they face on a regular basis are demanding work schedules, violent people, getting into car accidents, or extreme temperatures while they're, you know, casing a place.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're basically spying on somebody who doesn't want to be spied on, who is, you know, potentially breaking the law. I actually met somebody who was kind of casing somebody outside here in our parking lot.
Really?
Yeah, because we have doctor's offices and stuff like that. Ah. So it's not just...
Oh, I did too.
Yeah, yeah, but they're making sure that this person wasn't doing a... insurance fraud or something like that.
To see if they show up and put on like a neck brace and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Private investigators who do that, that could be risky as well.
Wait, were you talking about one of our former interns?
No.
Oh, never mind.
All right, so 8.
I want to hear this story.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you off.
All right.
8 most dangerous jobs in the world. Ground maintenance workers.
Ground maintenance? You mean because of the equipment you're using?
I believe so. It says taking care of parks and outdoor areas may seem harmless, but according to this study, 217 total fatalities reported in 2016. Most of the deaths were due to falls, electrocutions, transportation accidents, or being struck by loose objects.
Not squirrels.
Whenever I see those Esplanth working on the side of the road, and they've got all those wood chippers and they're cutting down branches and stuff, I'm like, somebody's got to get hurt from time to time.
I've had a regular backyard wood chipper, regular size.
Yeah.
When there's something that, you know, two people side by side could jump through, no problem.
Yeah.
Those suckers are huge.
Yeah. Number 6 on this list are truck drivers. They have the highest number of deaths on the job in 2016, so the study's a couple years old, than any other occupation in the United States.
Truck drivers.
With a death rate of 24.7 per 100,000 workers. This is because they carry heavy and dangerous loads, drive when tired, and are driving so much that they are prone to being in a deadly accident.
I wonder how much the laws meant to stop them from driving. You know, there are specific rules to how long they can be driving and how much they have to rest, you know, at intervals.
Yeah, when you're a
long-haul
trucker, you can only log X amount of hours per day. Every now and again, when I'm looking or driving and I'm surrounded by tractor trailers, I'm like, how are these things even legal? You know what I mean?
They're big, man.
They're so big.
No, you're right. Number 5, no surprise, police officers.
Yes.
One of the most dangerous jobs around. Police, and I think this is in the world. Yeah, this is internationally. Police officers encounter the most dangerous criminals and situations and are murdered more than any other profession. So that one you would expect to be on this list. One you would not expect to be on this list. Number 4, veterinarians.
Yeah. Because of animal attacks?
Well, and there's various types of veterinarians as well, not just, you know, your dog and cat.
Right.
There are ones that take care of big animals as well.
And polar bear veterinarian, I'm sure, has a more difficult deal.
Game preserves and things like that as well.
And they don't take the temperature by putting the thermometer under their tongue.
Right. Right, yeah. Vets are exposed to animal bites, infections, and illnesses, but mental health can also play a part. High stress, financial strain, and emotional hardships associated with euthanasia can be the leading cause of suicide.
Oh,
so they on a daily basis see people with their beloved pets putting down their pets, and it starts to affect them.
Yeah, maybe not just seeing other people, but actually the animals seeing the animal die before them as well has got
to
be tough.
I mean, I had to do that this past year with my cat, and it was the first time I ever had to do that.
Yes.
And it was really, really, it was harder than I thought it was going to be.
It's incredibly difficult.
And even though the vet told me I was doing the right thing.
Yep.
It still didn't feel like I was doing the right thing.
I know.
You know?
You know how you help mitigate that a little bit? Make sure you always have 9 to 10 cats at home.
Yeah. that's all you got to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're the ones who actually have to do that. You know, the cat was laying in my arms, but somebody else had to administer the drug.
No, it's heavy. It's a family member, and it will impact you.
In Australia, the Australian Veterinary Association, vets are up to 4 times more likely to commit suicide than the rest of the population.
I love this great white shark. They call him Binky. He's my favorite box jellyfish.
What kind of pets are they bring?
The ringed octopus.
Yeah, the ringed octopus.
Yeah,
they call him Sucky because he's got little suckers on his tentacles.
get all emotional when you do that. That's...
Good boy, buddy. What about your saltwater crocodile?
What's the sound of you going? I can imagine. Australian vet. Yeah. Had to put it down. Had to put down my saltwater crocodile.
Did he have a name?
Chompers.
Chompers. Well, poor guy. So veterinarians. All right, here's another one. Roofers.
Yeah.
These are some of the most dangerous jobs.
Because
in the world.
They fall off.
Yes, exactly.
It's an obvious Steve. One. Uh-huh. I wonder how many a roofer has encountered passing out from heat.
Well, yeah, and it,
especially as we start to move into another string of 90 plus degree days. Mm. You know, and what? Correct me if I'm wrong. Did we not hear someone say that union rules? I guess it depends on whether the union or not. There's a certain temperature. You cannot be up on a roof doing... it's illegal.
Yeah, I had a friend who was a union roofer. And I don't know if it was a certain temperature or what, but I mean, there was... When it got to that ridiculous heat, they wouldn't work.
Right.
They probably depends on the employer, too. You know, like and how stringent they are when it comes to those rules. I had a job. I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but I did not last very long at this job. It was... a maintenance company, and one of the jobs, it was in the winter, it was over a winter break from college, was to take the snow off of roofs. So we would go to warehouses,
okay.
And like so long, big, flat roofs where the snow would weigh it down and become a hazard inside the building. The job was to take the snow, and it was, you'd think flat roof, snow, easy, it's just back-breaking stuff. It was really slippery and really difficult being up there.
Sure.
You know, a chance to fall.
So yeah, fall off.
Yeah, I had a friend who had a fall from roofing, and he was doing it as summertime work, and he laid him in the hospital for like a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Preston,
it was pretty nasty.
Friend in college was doing stuff like that, and he was bringing a sheet of plywood up. So he's going up the ladder, held the plywood to the side as he's going up. Gust of wind turned that thing into a sail, and he got blown off like four stories up.
It's dangerous work. And number three on this list, number two is a welder. It says welders, especially underwater welders, and we know an underwater welder, are very susceptible to injuries and accidents. Usually electricity and water don't mix, but it is part of the job for underwater welders. They face many dangers, including explosions and different pressure hazards.
I don't know why they don't get rid of that equipment and go completely with repulsor rays. I saw Iron Man doing it, and it seemed to be no problem.
Seemed really easy, right?
Yeah.
Is that in the second movie?
The third.
Third movie. Underwater welders die at a rate of 40 times higher than America's national average.
We did that cooling caravan with Dunkin' Donuts a few weeks ago and got a few emails from people, and it just wasn't geographically convenient, but from welders working in this heat without air conditioners, all they have is fans. I don't know how it's humanly possible to do that.
There you go.
Just use that.
No, our friend Andrew does underwater welding, and he's told some stories about, and I think he's like had his fingers crushed and all kinds of stuff can happen.
But the first off, to be underwater with your back to whatever's underwater with you as you're welding, no.
It pays a lot, though.
It pays
a lot.
Didn't we a while ago speak to someone who did underwater welding on oil platforms in the Gulf, which is fairly shark infested?
So that's number two. And then the number one on this most dangerous jobs in the world, lumberjacks have the number one most dangerous job.
That's always up there.
Yeah. And you know what else is usually on a list like this? Although if it were just concentrated in America, but farmers have very, very dangerous jobs as well.
So the lumberjacks, we know that there's all sorts of sharp tools and trees falling on you. But is that basically the gist of it? Yeah. Or is it the embarrassment of having to wear all that flannel?
No, not that. They not only use dangerous machinery, but they climb trees and around falling heavy trees as well. In 2016, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that an average 135.9 out of 100,000 deaths. Most deaths are from falling trees or equipment errors.
Do you ever watch any of that show about the lumberjacks?
No. I've seen scenes, but I've never really watched a show.
They, like every episode, had something going wrong, you know?
Hang on. Jamie says working in mushroom houses are dangerous. Mushroom houses. Hi, Jamie. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Preston?
Yeah, bud.
I knew it wasn't going to be on this list, of course, but my dad owns a mushroom business, and I've been working inside the mushroom house for the past 3 months, but I've been working for the company for the past 4 years, and
every single day you hear people either falling 20 feet high. My dad actually was on workman's comp about 3 years ago because he fell, and they work with pitchforks, and he fell on top of the pitchfork.
So let me ask you something, Jamie. Are they walking on platforms above?
We're working on wood. It's literally just wood, and the wood boards. And the boards have been there for 20 years, 30 years. They barely get replaced, you know, or that's usually the case where people just, it's 20 feet high. If you saw footage, people working inside the mushroom house, you wouldn't believe it. The other day, the temperature said 110 degrees, and I literally had to stick my head outside so I can breathe because I couldn't breathe.
110 degrees with a bunch of stinky mushrooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so the configuration has the workers above, 20 feet above them on wooden planks.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, in my mind, imagine what that looks like.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, I could send a picture to you guys and try to send one to Nick or something.
Yeah, please.
My father's working.
Where are you? Where's
We it's Kenneth Square, actually.
Yeah, it is Kenneth Square, the mushroom capital of the world.
Yeah.
Of course. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's
okay.
It doesn't sound good.
Jamie, I always thought they did that like in caves and stuff like that.
No.
You're thinking of cave mushrooms.
No, I've seen them growing them in. Am I wrong about that?
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe. But here in Kennett Square, there's so many. Actually, there's a lot of competition. There's so many mushroom houses. You can go down every single road in Kennett Square and find a mushroom house. And I've been in mushroom work my whole entire life. My dad actually worked for a company, and then he became their mechanic and then got a loan, and he owns his own business now. So I've been working for him. But before that, I was working in a mushroom house also.
Okay. Just real quick, why Kennett Square? Is it the soil? Why is it so popular and abundant there?
It's perfect. The temperature is the hotness, coldness, everything. The temperature is just right. And Kennett Square, I don't know if it's just because someone started off with a mushroom business, but eventually it grew. And it's very hard to, it's just perfect. Everything's perfect here.
Maybe it already smelled like poop before they got here.
Yeah.
And
let's
then,
go, mushrooms. Preston, why not Rutledge?
I don't know. Why not Rutledge?
It's too small.
Is it? Yeah, it's only really, got nine really streets.
Small. Yeah.
All right, know thanks, all the Jamie. Names. Appreciate it, man. Case.
I have a few friends of mine that are special education teachers, and they tell me that they can be attacked at any point, and it's a really, really dangerous job. That you never know what you're going to get. And in fact, my one friend, she was smaller, and she would get her ass handed to her on a daily basis.
And how do you deal with that when it's a lot of times it's not the kids fall.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You got to protect yourself, but not harm the person that you are supposed
to be. And
that's
all you can really do is protect yourself.
The mushroom house is looking better.
Yeah. Right? Wow. Interesting. Listen, I appreciate we got to take a break. Let me go. I'm going to do one call because he's been on hold the longest. We have a private investigator who was the first thing I had on this list. Hi. Good morning. You're on the air.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. So you wanted to mention about your job being dangerous?
Yeah, I wanted to say that, you know, wintertime is pretty easy because I've got a sleeping bag that it's for like negative 30 degree winters and stuff. So I use that in the wintertime. But in the summertime, man, it's not safe to leave your vehicle running the whole time with the AC going because that can really mess up your vehicle. But, you know, like on a hot day, like 90 degrees, 95, Add about 50 degrees to that, and, you know, you're working in about 150-degree car.
Jeez. And you know what? Stakeouts must suck, and I know that's a lot of what you do, but just sitting and waiting I'm sure you're used to it by now, but, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely can get boring at times. You know, when things happen, they happen, and, you know, that's an opportunity to turn the AC on in the car, but... You know, there are days where you're just sitting in one spot for 8 hours, 10 hours at a time.
Let me ask you, give me percentages here. How much of your time is spent simply surveilling, and how much time is spent actually active in arresting someone or something else?
I don't actually arrest anyone. Yeah. I kind of just, you know, I observe the activity. I take video of it. I take photographs, document it, and then I send it in.
So 100% is surveillance.
100% is surveillance, but if a person's not active, like if they're just in their house, like I'm not going to go into their living room and start filming them. Like,
right.
If they're just in their house, it's just all you're doing is just sitting in your car. But it can get real hot, and there have been times where I've been in a hot car like 150 degree car, and the person I'm surveilling is having like a pool party.
Oh man,
that sucks.
I would take my clothes off. I'd have to just sit there naked.
I've
in
done
the
it before. I've been down to my underwear in this car.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Sure, man.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Well, there's a lot of strange jobs out there that do have dangers, and private investigator is one of them. I found that interesting. All right, anyhow, thanks for your calls. Appreciate it. Casey, just hand this to me. We have another screening coming up for a movie. Mission Impossible.
Whoa!
Fallout. Nice. And this is going to be UA King of Prussia, July 23rd, so a week from today. And you will need to be at the movie theater no later than 7 o'clock because the movie starts at 7:30. So we'll take 5 callers right now, and we will set you up with a movie on us. And the word is...
phenomenal.
It's fantastic.
The best of the series. I was reading a review over the weekend from a normally... very critical source, and they were saying, keep making them forever because they just keep getting better.
Very rarely do you get a series that lasts for a long time and it continues to get better.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. We'll set you up. Coming back with some Bizarre File stories. Stay with us, my friend.
This summer. Surprise! MMR Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Two things. Deadline for Philly's Hottest is tomorrow. Philly's Hottest swimsuit. Perfect. Nice, hot, sweaty day. If you haven't gotten those pictures in yet, and get out real quick. Shoot those and send those over to us. But the deadline is tomorrow at 11 a.m. And also, we can maybe use a couple more guys that are... trying desperately to hold on to that hair that is disappearing from their head. If you know someone, we're doing the comb-over intervention. If you know someone who's got that big, gigantic bald patch on the top, and somebody sent me a picture, they were out at an event this weekend of the guy rocking the ponytail in the back the bald on top.
Go
all bald and you'll look much better.
You will look better.
Yeah.
No one is saying, oh, there's a ponytail. He must have a full head of hair.
And in fact, we got a response from our friend Mark Zumoff, who proudly shows his chrome dome. Oh, and he just says, own it, man.
Exactly.
That out. So thank you, Zumoff. That's we funny. Appreciate that, buddy. So details at WMMR.com. We're doing that on the 25th. Is that when we're doing that, Nick?
Yes, sir. Next Wednesday.
All right. So we got to get those in. Nominate someone immediately.
It sounds obvious, but you have to be available on the 25th to be able to be here and spend the morning with us.
All right. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Delilah's. The most beautiful and talented performers will compete for the coveted Diamond G String Award at Delilah's Wednesday, July 18th, hosted by Chanel West Coast. You can visit Delilahs.com for details. Who knew that snakes had a thing for lingerie? A man in Thailand captured video footage of a snake that he found in his bedroom eating his wife's lingerie.
Eating his wife's lingerie.
35-year-old Sakda Lasada said that he...
That's his best friend's job.
He arrived at his home and discovered the golden tree snake in his bedroom. He found the serpent with half of his wife's pink silk nightie lodged in its throat.
Wow.
He pulled on the snake's tail, which caused it to regurgitate its prize.
Ooh, sexy.
And Lasada said that he safely released the snake outside of his home, but he managed to get his wife's lingerie out of the snake as it was eating it at some point.
Now, I know both you and I have chewed on lingerie occasionally.
It's happened.
I don't think I'd swallow it.
I've never choked on anything like that before, no. Let's see. A Virginia teen could take up to 2 years to recover fully. Listen to this. From severe burns that he got from an encounter with a dangerous invasive plant this week. Whoa. Alex Childress, who is 17, was doing landscaping work when he chopped down a large weed. When doing so, the plant brushed against his face and arm. And unbeknownst to Alex, the plant was a giant hogweed, a weed sometimes called the plant from hell.
Where is this?
This is in Virginia.
Okay.
Giant hogweed sap essentially prevents your skin from properly protecting itself against sunlight, causing your skin to start burning in as little as 15 minutes after contact.
Do we have this up here?
I would imagine we probably did.
Because I had a situation, Preston, where I was out in the Wissahickon, along the Wissahickon Creek, and my dog went running into some... I think I mentioned this on the air. I thought my dog had something in the bushes. I reached in, and when I pulled my arm out, in about 30 seconds, it started burning like crazy. Wow.
Nick, look up hogweed, if you will, and see if we get it in our area. Getting the sap in your eyes can even lead to permanent blindness. Oof. I remember brushing up against a plant one time and coming back with blisters on my arm before.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we have been victims of the hogweed.
Maybe when...
New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Maryland, Oregon, Washington, Michigan, Virginia.
Oh, Nick, man. Does it mention me specifically?
Steve Morrison, yes.
Yeah, Steve Morrison experienced this.
Mm-hmm. See if you can pull up a picture of it, too, Nick.
Steve Bold. Broadcaster.
When Childress first noticed his skin hurting, he thought that he had just gotten a sunburn, though his parents suspected otherwise. They took him to the hospital. The top layer of skin on the left side of his face basically was gone and appeared to be like a really bad burn that had already peeled, his father said. As it turned out, the teen had developed second and third degree burns all over his face and arms from the hogweed sap. When he first got in the shower after landscaping, quote, big chunks of his skin were falling off his face. The severity of the burns meant that he has to stay in the hospital's intensive care unit for 2 days, though he is set to recover. It could be a frustratingly long process. He said, I can't go out into the sun for anywhere from 2 to 6 months. Wow. My face could be sensitive to light for up to a year to 2 years.
Dear
Isn't
God.
That crazy? Native to the Caucasus mountain region in Asia, giant hogweed spread to Europe in the late 19th century and ultimately to the United States via people who thought that it made a pretty garden plant, and it can grow from around 6 to 20 feet tall.
Well, it is pretty for a plant that can burn the skin off your skull.
Wow, man, that's crazy. Well, it would seem to be a romantic hotspot, but an Alexandria man and a Pineville woman are facing charges. This is in Louisiana for having sex in the stairwell of the parish courthouse Wednesday morning. According to the sheriff's office, Miguel Glorioso and Jamie Lee Couti are both facing an obscenity charge after reports were made of commotion in the fifth floor stairwell around 10:20 a.m. When an employee went to investigate, they found the couple. They were having sex.
So I'd like to remind parishioners that the bake sale is this Saturday, and we will be having bingo night on Tuesday.
So this was in a courthouse, believe it or not.
Oh, my God. I thought it was okay.
No, they in Louisiana, they call the counties parishes.
Parishes. Yeah. Ah.
So anyhow, when an employee
went hogweed.
When they found the couple having sex after seeing the employee, the two fled, but the employee was able to identify Glorizio, a trustee assigned to cleaning the courthouse. Court security then located him and was identified by the witness, arrested, and booked. And investigators then determined the female suspect as Couti, who was arrested Wednesday evening.
Have you ever had stairwell sex?
Not stairwell sex. I think sex on the stairs, but not in a stairwell. I can tell by your smile you've done it before.
No, but I know someone who may broadcast in this building who's done it.
Oh, really?
And was discovered.
Interesting.
I will tell you later.
I would like
we
to
have
hear
to,
that
We
story.
All need to sit down and talk. We have, like, gossipy yeah. stories today.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We'll do that. That's a show. Yeah, that's post-show. Mm-hmm. A bizarre chain of events led to a man being arrested Thursday after, and I love it when this happens, he fell through the ceiling of a grocery store.
It's the best.
Police said that they were not looking for 30-year-old Eric Lombardi when they responded to a bank robbery at the shopping plaza, but the Dover man panicked when he saw police pouring into the parking lot. Lombardi is out on bail for a drug offense, but is not connected to the bank robbery in any way that they were... that they were going for. Well, when officers went into, I guess this place is called Shaw's, to see if the supermarket surveillance system captured clues from the bank robbery, they heard trouble. While an officer was in the store attempting to pull surveillance, he heard a commotion in the back room behind the deli. Some employees came running out and said that a man just partially fell through the top ceiling in the deli. When the officer went to see what was going on, he saw a man's legs hanging through the drop ceiling over the seafood and deli area of the store. Minutes later, his legs fell through again. This time, it was over the refrigerated meat section. And they started to flush him out, at which point he again came through the ceiling by the deli where some officers were standing. The store had to be evacuated while police went into the ceiling to coax Lombardi out. Officials said Lombardi went to the store through the main entrance, went into an unlocked storage area, and somehow got into the ceiling. It is unclear whether he used a ladder or caused damage to get into the ceiling. So he didn't. He wasn't involved in a crime. He just saw these cops showing up.
Yeah.
And he got panicked. I guess he had a warrant or something along those lines. And he went up in the ceiling. Officers said that they have never seen anything like it before. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Speaking of police, we do have some representatives here this morning, and they are here to speak of an event that Casey has been involved in for many years, and it gets bigger and better, and it's such a wonderful event. Please welcome Mr. Mark O'Connor, Mr. Joe Sullivan.
Yay!
To our program. Gentlemen, good day. Nice to see you once again. And yes, Casey, thank you for the music. We are talking about the Tour de Shore.
Yeah.
Which is coming up. It's the 31st annual Tour de Shore. Before we get into that, have you guys ever seen somebody fall through the ceiling before in your police work?
I have not. I've pulled some people out of ceilings,
though. You have?
I have.
It's just, it's not going to work.
Fortunately, I fell through a couple myself.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. See, that's a problem. Yeah.
Nice. All right. So, Casey, this is your baby.
Yeah.
So what's the latest on the Tour de Shore?
Well, I mean, we're really getting down to crunch time. We're less than 2 weeks away from when we depart. Things are going to be a little bit different this year. So in years past, we started around 20th and Walnut, and we finished at the Irish Pub in Atlantic City. Our start is going to be at Franklin Square. This is right at the foot of the Ben Franklin Bridge. And we're going to end at where? Which casino?
Showboat.
The Showboat Casino.
Not
so,
a casino, just a hotel.
Okay, just at the hotel. So we are, and how long is that? Is that 65 miles now?
We're calling it 65, yeah.
Okay, well.
What is it really?
That's about right.
It's about 65? Accurate. Okay, you're not fudging it then. That's totally fine.
65 miles, and how many riders do we have this year in total?
Right now we're at 2,600.
2,600.
Wow. Yeah. And what is that? Where does that fall in years past? Are we?
That's number one.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, we're still taking riders. You can still go sign up right now.
And I'm still taking team members. We are at around 62 team members for the Team WMMR Rock and Rollers. Not all 62 of those are paid up. You have to raise at least $200 if you want to ride. So I do. I've ordered 80 jerseys. So I definitely have room for more. And if you want to, you know, my jerseys are free, essentially. Yeah. You don't have to pay extra for it, but you do have to raise your $200 if you want to ride in my team jerseys this year. Are awesome.
Hey, Mark, I have a question. For those people that want to do this, have never done anything like this before, what's the one thing that newbies don't really, the mistake that they might make?
Well, you have to keep a pretty good pace. So we added a second start 19 miles in this year at the first rest stop. So it'd be about a 45, 46 mile.
That's pretty cool. You haven't done anything like that before?
First time.
Okay.
Huh. Well, that makes it more inviting to people who may not have the full pluck to do the whole thing. But, you know, Casey, I remember when he first did it, was nervous about doing it. And when he completed it and did it, he was ecstatic.
He was emotional.
Very emotional.
Well, I actually have gotten emotional every single time I've come around.
I agree.
That finish line. And, you know, for me, it was an accomplishment. The first year, I trained a little bit, right? I didn't just go in and, you know, hop on a bike and go. You definitely need to, you know, log some miles. But I think, you know, I did a couple of rides, and then the last ride was something like 40 miles or something like that. So when I came around that bend, I was like, I can't believe I'm actually getting emotional here. The last time I did it, when I started turning the corner, I had already been through this a couple of times, but then I saw my family waiting there. I was like, oh, great. Here I go again.
Of course. Yeah. That's wonderful. They're supporting you. And the whole thing is in support of a wonderful charity. Which one of you wants to explain where the money goes from the Tour de Shore?
All the money goes to children's charities throughout the Delaware Valley, and we support a large number of charities, beginning with the Police Survivors Fund, but
which is great.
Do a lot of other great things. You know, Preston's Race for Energy, we buy bikes for handicapped kids. I mean, we support PAL. We have a great partnership with Independence Mission Schools. We have our own program now, the Police Youth Alliance, where together, police officers and children in the schools, they do step dance, they do art, they do music, they do chess, reading.
That's a wonderful program. Yes. I've seen little videos on what's going on with that, and that's really where it all begins. And so the money just generates a whole bunch of helps fuel a whole bunch of wonderful charities,
and you raised some decent change. What did last year?
Last year we made our goal of $1 million.
Whoa. Yeah. Freaking awesome.
So this year our goal is $1.25 million.
$1.25.
That's why we're asking people that you can still sign up, or you can just go to our website at Toward the Shore Children's Foundation. And donate or sponsor someone.
This has to be for both you guys. This has to be, and I know Casey, this has to be one of the absolute highlights of your year, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it just becomes, you know, your life kind of revolves around the Tour de Shore and where we're at. And, so, I mean, I'll be doing a ride. My wife will be doing it with me. We're really looking forward to it, excited about it. It's just the camaraderie, and no one should be afraid. Right. I mean, if you start falling behind, we have a cadre of support vehicles. We'll pick you up and take you to the next rest stop.
Yeah.
And there are
rest
stops.
You won't be stranded.
Yes. Yeah, we'll bring you right into Atlantic City. So, I mean, you know, there's nothing to be worried about if you don't. If you don't feel you've had a chance to train just as much as you might have liked to.
So give it a shot. Yeah,
I've said that, you know, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the bottom line there. I've done it in the past. I'll do it again this year. If I can do it, you can do it. No problem. My team, if you go to PrestonSteve.com right now, you can donate to my team, the Team WMMR Rock and Rollers. We're a little bit farther behind than I had wanted
You're
to be.
You're number seven right now.
We're number seven number right seven. Now. But I had really upped my goal by quite a bit, because last year we raised over $20,000. I don't know exactly how much it was, but maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of like $25,000. I'm like, yes, $40,000 this year. Well, we're approaching $16,000.
Got a lot of ground to cover. But
we do.
You have two events coming up. You have the event next week, this week actually.
This week, yes.
At Pinocchio's, right? And then there's also... next Tuesday night, right?
Yeah, so if you're a team member, usually your packet pickup is on like Thursday and Friday at the Irish Pub, right? So if you're on my team, you can do your packet pickup on Tuesday, and you can also pick up your awesome Team WMMR Rock and Roller jerseys. We have not revealed what they look like yet.
Yeah, we've seen them, though. They're awesome.
They're going to be the best jerseys in the whole race. So if you come on Tuesday, you can pick up your packet, you can pick up your jerseys, or you could just come and hang out, and there's going to be a little happy hour for us. We're going to have people slinging drinks. I think Steve, you're
going to
come
be
and,
there.
And
yes.
sling some drinks. Marissa, I think, is going to come and sling some drinks. Pancake, I think, is going to come out. Yes, we're going to
sling
do
some
all that.
Batter.
Well,
yes.
And so the only way we're actually making money that night for the Tour de Shore is through tips. So that's why we need people to come out next Wednesday to the Irish Pub. But next Tuesday to the Irish Pub. But there's a more family-friendly event going on this Wednesday at Pinocchio's Pizza, Baltimore Pike and Media. Anytime between noon and 10 p.m., if you show up and you bring your flyer, 20% of your bill will go towards Team WMMR Rock and Rollers.
I think you're going to really like to start this year.
Yeah.
If you've ever tried to see 2,000 bikes take off at 20th and Walnut, you're really going to appreciate it. We're going to spread everybody out right on Race Street. Franklin Square has been great. There's been a place to get yourself together, get your bike tuned up, and then when we end at the showboat, it's going to be a whole new scenario with plenty of room. No problem getting food, no problem getting beer.
Oh, that's awesome.
You don't have to join a team, right? You can just jump in solo and ride.
Absolutely.
All that information is at the website, which, by the way, is a different URL than last year. TourDeShoreChildrensFoundation.org is where all the information is available. And then once you guys are in AC, you guys hang out for a while. And are there prizes and so forth or anything at the end?
Big raffle and team prizes. And we always give out a few awards down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's
Casey's
also
helped in the past.
The amount of stories that we've heard of people who've started like lifelong friendships and people that, you know, who've started, you talk about the camaraderie and all that stuff and the moments that you remember. This is something that, you know, on a great charitable level, it's phenomenal. But on a social, interpersonal level, it's a home run as well.
Well, WMMR has this whole community of riders, and it started with Marcus's team ride. He does the ACS Bikeathon every year. And so I have kind of, I don't want to say stolen, but, you know, those guys that ride in that ride with me.
Yes.
And there's like a whole community that they get together for group rides on Facebook and stuff like that. And I would imagine other teams are like that as well. Who do you ride for, Joe?
I ride with different teams within the police department.
Okay.
So I'm on a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
Nice. All right. Well, cool. It's underway. It's coming up Sunday, July 29th, the Casey's event. You can get that. And the information off of PrestonSteve.com. Nick has got a link pulled up right away. So if you want to get involved, do so. But $1.25 million.
Absolutely.
It
can be done. Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Good luck with the event.
All right,
appreciate
thank you
coming by here. Mark O'Connor and Joe Sullivan here on the Preston and Steve Show. And good luck with Casey's Team Rock and Rollers from MMR. We're going to take a quick break. Come back in just a second. Stay with us.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
Amazon Prime Day, is that today?
Today, starting at 3.
Starting at 3?
Yes.
Does it go for several days?
It goes for 7 years.
No, I think it's like, isn't it 36 hours?
I think it's 36 hours, yeah.
All right, I don't know. I don't even know. What is it?
So it's...
I hear chit-chat about it.
It's basically their sales that they're running. So okay. All sorts of stuff. In fact, the list is available. I think you can peruse it.
Yeah, it's like you can view it now, but yeah. The sales don't start until 3.
I myself have never really participated in it because I'm on it all the time anyway.
Right.
Lord knows they certainly get a lot of press on it because it is a big event. The amount of commerce that'll be done through the site and through Amazon is expected to be a record breaker this time around.
And does it have anything to do with Amazon Smile, or is that separate?
Amazon Smile is the charity component, so when you're purchasing anything you'd purchase through it,
so
I assume...
So that's just up to you?
Yeah.
Is there a Smile Day as well?
You know what? I'm not sure. There probably is, Kathy. It came up a while ago, and I just joined it. So a percentage of everything that you
can pick a charity.
Yeah,
it'll
pick
go
a charity.
To charity.
Yeah, yeah. It's an altruistic thing to do. So I know some people just wait and go nuts for this. Do you, Kathy?
I buy all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't even know. I didn't even look at the deals. I probably should. But then I'm the person that would look through the deals and be like, I don't need that, but it's on sale. I'll take it.
Yeah,
There's some people that do that.
Yeah, that's me.
That is you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I'll see something
What do you do with it? Don't you run out of room for all your stuff?
I'm not going to buy something that
She's not buying big stuff.
I'm not buying stuff that I wouldn't use, but, like, say, let's just
like
say...
Like that crossbow.
No, but let's just say there is, like, if it was clothing or a pair of shoes that happened to be on sale on Prime Day. I don't think that's what they're gearing towards, but if there was, I don't need another pair of shoes, but if I liked them, I'd be like... Well, they're on sale. Maybe
exactly.
I'll get them.
Kathy, last week I bought accent lights for my Batman statues.
Exactly.
And remote controlled. I needed those.
Listen, I have
wasn't frivolous.
I have a mantle over my fireplace, and it is constantly changing. I'll just see something new, and I'm like, this would look good on the mantle. I'll do this for week 2 of August.
Jesus. This is what you do to keep yourself from crying.
I cry while I do it, though.
All right, so you'll do it for week 2 of August. Will you do it again next year for week 2 of August, or is it just a...
Yeah, no, like, okay, so that's a joke, but I do have seasonal on top of my mantle. Of course, it changes. So.
Oh, listen, man.
Seasonal, Preston. Seasonal. Different lights and depends on the month and the color of the light.
Kathy, accent lights are very important.
Accent
in front
lights
of my house,
amazing.
I have a faux flickering flame that looks like a gas light from the turn of the century, last century. And people think it's an actual flame.
You know what?
I needed it.
You know, you talk about the holiday thing. You know what I just noticed yesterday? I didn't even realize.
What?
In our hall bathroom upstairs, we still have a wreath hanging on.
Do you really?
On the door.
I
bumped into it with my shoulder, and I'm like,
is
what's that
Christmas
doing there?
Wreath?
I didn't even notice it was there.
Well, that's pretty good. We had Easter up for a while, an Easter wreath.
Maybe it's an Easter wreath.
Maybe it's a Christmas in July wreath, President.
I can't believe nobody in the house has even noticed that it's been up this whole
time.
It's
just nobody wants to take it down.
I don't know. Well, I'm going to take it down now that I noticed
it. But now are you going to go to the basement, find all the Christmas decorations and put it away? See? That's why it's still hanging.
I was in my basement over the weekend.
There's so much stuff in my house. It's ridiculous.
And that's exactly where my mentality is, President. I was in the basement. I've only been in this house for like 6 months. And I was looking at stuff in the basement that I moved over from my old place to my new place. And I'm wondering why I have any of it. Because none of it has left the basement since I moved in. And I'm just like, what? I should just purge all of it.
And I see the same thing. And then the moment that I take that thing that we haven't used, whatever it is, in 3-4 years, maybe more, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to make some room, and I'm not going to let Shell know. I'm going to throw it away.
And how's that go?
2 weeks later, she'll ask where it is.
And what do you say? I don't know.
I don't know.
When we have so much stuff down there, it could be anywhere.
I don't know.
However, I did kind of fess up because it was my daughter's birthday was coming up, and we have this old birthday stuff that we used for one of my son's birthdays when they were in grade school, and they're a senior in high school now.
Sure.
And so it's sat there, collected dust, didn't do anything, blah blah blah. I need to make room, so my job is to go down and make room in the unfinished stuff.
You're the eliminator.
So I threw away this, I believe I threw away like some stuff, and it was a sign that you could write happy birthday on or whatever. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, my daughter's birthday this year April, where's that sign?
Where's that effing sign?
I don't know. And eventually I just gave it. I'm like, I probably threw it away.
Probably.
Okay.
Where's that sound coming from?
probably means
there's something
yes.
on here.
Stuff. Things.
Well,
junk.
Like in our basement now, we moved from the place of Manioc, and we now have a large basement, and I've got those Home Depot shelves, and we've got tubs, and we've got everything labeled and good to go.
Good for you.
And I freaked it. Because, and I start to see it wavering into
unorganized.
No. Yeah. We don't have this much space to get like this.
Yeah.
Because it's really not a huge house, but for two people, it's bigger. It's correctly bigger. Yeah. I didn't want rooms, empty rooms with boxes full of stuff that nobody uses or whatever. So everything's being used, which means it sort of forces you to say, are we using this? Yeah. No one's touched it in 6 months. Throw it out.
So, Kathy,
if we need it, we'll buy it again.
Yeah.
I have a serious question for you, Kathy, because you have this desire for neatness and order and elimination of things combined with the desire to shop and buy things. So how do you reconcile the two?
Well, I mean, I purge a lot. I'll get rid of, you know, like I'll go through my closet at least.
Do you do the Facebook selling the stuff, the curb?
Yard sale site.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done that in
donate
the past,
a lot.
I'll donate a lot. I'll purge my closet at least twice a year. Like, you know, maybe winter and summer, I go through everything. And then as far as like decorations and stuff go, like Steve, I mean, they're all in bins labeled neatly organized in the basement.
Well, you know what we need to do, Preston? Forget the concept of the dystopian purge. There should be one night for 24 hours where you can purge, right? And you can throw out even stuff that your husband or wife, like it's totally legal, even if it annoys you, you can throw it out.
And that's so great. And Steve, you have to go around wearing these scary looking masks.
We're coming to take your stuff. We're coming to clean up. right?
Yeah.
The official garbage purge is underway. I hate this table. It's a stupid table. Well, I hate this PlayStation. It's a stupid place.
I'm going to get rid of your Batman.
Well, I hate your mother's ashes.
Where you purge your significant other's stuff.
You can purge.
Uh-huh.
And they can purge
24 hours.
And there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing they can do about it.
That would be terrible.
You would have to set up some guidelines, because Steve, what if she went right after your action figures?
Well, then it's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
It's going to get ugly. Mm-hmm. I'm going to purge all your clothing.
Yeah, and that's where it could be dangerous, I guess. So, all right, so Prime Day, I guess, is this week. Now, apparently what it is doing, now, the other retailers are picking up on this and starting to have their own sales. In response, and I guess that's starting to fuel a little bit more. I think it's probably happened in the past, but now this made-up holiday or whatever is kind of creating a trickle-down effect or a domino effect.
Yes.
To where, like, Target and JCPenney and
Walmart is as well, yes?
Probably.
Yeah.
Macy's. There's a lot of them. Lowe's is doing some.
Did you see, Preston, what they're doing now? They're trying to find that hybrid that works between, as stores rise to the challenge of taking on online shopping. Like, they're... Like, I think it's Nordstrom's is doing it. Where you go to the store and there's basically not a lot of product there. Like, you can online order it and go get it there. And you're sort of, they're saying their shopping should become more experiential.
You know what's good for that, Steve, is REI. Casey and I were talking about
this last week. So explain what they do.
Well, so you can buy pretty much anything you need from REI online.
Right.
But going to the store is a pleasurable experience because the people that work there are really nice. They're really happy to have you come in. And they can give you the hands-on experience that you need to know when buying outdoor equipment that you might not know what you're talking
like
about.
You feel like you have a personal shopper, so to speak. And that's what they're all trying to do now, to go to that level.
And if you need a new pair of boots or whatever, you can buy boots anywhere online. You can do it on Amazon. You can do it in any place. But like if you buy it through REI, and this is not a paid endorsement for that company, but they just make you feel like that you're not wasting your money and that you're getting
And then you're not wasting their time.
Exactly.
That's like the you know, and Nick and I were having a conversation last week about it, but like I went there to get a new hydration backpack, and I just asked the guy who was at the bike part of the store, hey, where are the hydration backpacks? And he's like, well, here, let me show you. And then he spent the next like 10 minutes with me going through everything.
That'll get people back to the store.
Absolutely.
That feeling also. There's some things that I think like electronics, you know, a home entertainment. I got a worldwide stereo. I want to go physically see it. I want to hear it. I want to see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
There's but there are things that experience, and it's what the case they're making is that
people want that, where you can actually even order, I think, at this Nordstrom, I think it was Nordstrom's, or maybe Neiman Marcus, I'm not sure, where you can actually order it and they'll come out to your car and give it to you.
Oh, no, it's at Nordstrom. Yeah. You can you order it online and you can do pickup in store where you actually walk into the store and get it, or now you just pull up to the curb and they bring it out and put it in your trunk for you.
Isn't that wild?
Then you have another experience where I went to a store and I said, hey, where's your sidewalk chalk? And the girl's like, we don't have sidewalk chalk here anymore. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, I don't believe you. And then I went over and I found the whole thing.
They didn't feel like moving.
And that's what stops people from. Yes, that's what stops people. That's why I saw 2020 did a special years ago. I still reference it about the amount of customer loyalty you can create simply by, even if you don't care, acting as if you care and getting a customer for life as opposed to someone who. That's somebody who walks in and says, someone who may not be you walks in and is told they don't have that and then finds it. I'm never coming back here.
Yeah.
And that's usually because it's somebody who has a job and doesn't really want to be there. You know what I mean? And that's, I can't stand it.
A whole series of things you need to incentivize. You need to make those people need to care about their job. They need to care about everyone doing well and the best face forward to the public, to the consumer.
Kathy, I was at the Metroplex yesterday.
Oh, did you have fun?
It was so much fun. We went to Target. No, but what I saw was you had mentioned Nordstrom, and I know Nordstrom Rack is kind of their, you know, that has their lesser expensive stuff. There's a Saks Fifth Avenue.
Off Saks. Yeah. Yes. So it's like a Nordstrom Rack. It's like
what's it called? Ball Saks?
It's spelled S-A-C-K-S.
Yeah.
Off Saks, yeah.
Have you been in there?
Yes, I have.
Is it much, much cheaper than the real Saks Fifth Avenue? Kathy and I went one time, and oh my God, did I feel like a village idiot.
So one time I purchased a gift certificate for Claire for Saks, and then I realized I really misjudged that.
Anything less than $1,000 is a waste of time.
One sock is $1,000.
No, it is. It's much cheaper in there.
Okay, I was just curious. All right, hang on a second here. About purging your significant other stuff, I'm going to go to Joe. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, buddy?
So me and my wife literally did this yesterday. We're moving 1 month from today.
Okay.
So we went in the basement. We started going through each other's stuff. We made a deal. One for one, purge, you know, get rid of. And we were actually saying purging, which is funny.
Yes.
It's turned into the biggest battle ever. I said I wanted to get rid of one thing. She's like, well, then I'm going to get rid of this. And I was like, we can't get rid of that. And it's been this whole thing where I don't think she's speaking to me this morning.
Oh, my God.
All right, so what did you toss of hers?
Yeah, what did you toss that was so...
So going through clothes and stuff, like purses and stuff, I started just bagging it up and trying to throw them out. And then I literally got knocked over and told no. What? So it turned physical, too.
It turned physical, Joe? What did she punch you?
Yeah, she'll beat me up if I try to throw any of her stuff out.
Well, you could set rules. You could say, like, for things like clothes or pocketbooks. But there are other things, too, that I'm sure that are there that you can purge, you know.
You're going to end up boxing everything and taking it all with you.
The one thing you don't want to do, and I said this to my wife when we moved from the one house to this one we're currently in, the last thing you want to do is pour it over garbage that you're just going to throw out from the new house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a table that she's been trying to get rid of for years, but I have redone this table, and she's been trying to get rid of it, and it's the one thing that I'm saying, no, I'm keeping this. And
is it a wagon wheel table?
Yeah, right. Something's going
wagon wheel table. That was clearly something.
I pulled out the garbage and redid, so I feel proud of it, but my wife thinks it's the ugliest thing ever. So.
Joe, is that the only item, or are there other things that she's attempted to get rid of yours that you're just saying, no, you can't?
She's attempting to get rid of almost everything. So
You have to be fair during the purge. You have to be fair. Yeah. And also, honestly, to Preston's point, if you do the face paint, that helps foster anonymity.
Right. Like the purge.
Right.
The movie.
Yeah. And it's not you, it's the guy in the crazy makeup that's throwing it out.
Yeah, the makeup or a mask that can technically be like, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
All right, good luck, Joe.
Thanks.
A lot of times when you buy a shore house, you usually buy it fully furnished.
Yeah.
And so my cousin bought a little shore house, and it came with this yellow recliner, like a yellow leather recliner. It was like cream yellow. And he loves this thing. And his wife hates it. Right? And they've had it for, I don't even know, like 5, 6, 7 years now. And it just, Every single time they get rid of something or bring in something, it stays. And he will not. He's like, it's just. I will give him this. It is a comfortable chair, but it is quite an eyesore.
Could you simply get another recliner with a color that matches or that's more correct to the house?
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It's well worn, I'm sure. It's, you know. Yeah, that's tough. So I'm trying to think of anything that Rochelle has that I'm just like, we need to get rid of that. And I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Claire's the same way. It's all good stuff. She works, you know, we have this friend who's actually an interior designer, Lauren Feldman, a former Calendar Girl, who helped set up the new house. And so everything makes sense. She doesn't get carried away. She has to put up with a few.
Yeah. Your stuff.
Did
you ever say anything about it?
No, because there are designated rooms, like the media, where, you know, we have the TV set and stuff like that, you know, the big set. And that's where some of the figures. And in my own bedroom, like your bedroom is, what, do you have golf stuff in there?
Yeah.
You saw what I have. I have my light up figures and so on and so forth. Yeah. That's my room. So I, you know, I'm not going to have a Batman bust in the living room because it's hard to accessorize.
No, that's where you put the full size.
That's where I put the 6 foot one. Yeah, the animatronic one.
For months, though, since the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I had on my mantle. There was, I don't know, these like plants, fake plants that like were on either side of the mantle. And I put the underdog mask over the one plant and I put the Eagle mask over the other one. Man. And they sat there. For months.
How long is it? Right, but that's good. Cool that she tolerated it for that.
Well, she asked. She's like, how long am I going to have to look at these things? I'm like, I don't know, until they don't win the Super Bowl. You know, they're Super Bowl champions for the next year.
Well,
so
a lot of times stuff comes into the house. My wife says, wow, when's that going into work?
are they still there?
No, I took them down for the Kenan's broadcast. Remember, we had the people.
The crowd surfing. Yeah. That's right. Wow. By the way, I did see this article as well, since we're talking about shopping and Prime Day and everything. It says these 11 retailers may not survive 2018.
Oh, wow.
I always hate hearing of this.
But some of them you kind of already see heading out, like Sears. Sears has been closing a lot. Right.
Well, it survived the Grand Rama Mall thing, and it's still there. As you know, they tore down all of the mall.
Well, maybe they'll rethink it.
Except for Sears and Boscov's.
Apparently, it says here it's a company that finished last quarter with $3.5 billion in long-term debt.
Yeah. They even changed their slogan to "Where America Doesn't Shop."
Sears Hometown and Outlet Stores, which I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, no. There's one down on Germantown. I'm not sure if it's even still open or not.
JCPenney might not survive 2018.
That one's gone out of KOP, right?
Yeah.
My first department store credit card was a JCPenney card.
Yeah, still have a JCP gift card. I don't know if I'm going to be able to use that or not.
Yeah.
You
better get there.
You might have to drive to Virginia or somewhere where there's one left. Barnes & Noble.
Really?
Yeah, that's what this says.
Wow. What's interesting.
The
other one?
It says it is still the largest brick-and-mortar bookseller in the U.S. However, direct competition from Amazon wiped out 65% of its market cap over the past 3 years.
I always love going to the large bookstores. There's one in the Plymouth Meeting. It's that's a Barnes & Noble, yes?
Barnes & Noble,
It has a great cafe in it, and it has every magazine published on Earth.
I worked at a Barnes & Noble. That's where the Cookie Mouse incident happened.
Oh, yeah.
At that Barnes & Noble?
No, the one in Devon.
Okay. I worked at a B. Dalton. Are there even B. Dalton bookstores around anymore?
I don't think so. That's no Borders either.
Yeah. There used to be a B. Dalton and King of Prussia Mall on the lower level by the food court, but I don't know if that's there anymore. So anyhow, they may be on the way out. Office Depot. I would hate to see.
Staples
where I go. Staples. I think Staples is where I go. But Office Depot is another one of those types of places. I would think that they would, you know.
You would imagine.
Yeah.
Staples seems to be doing well.
I guess so.
Here's a tip.
I just bought stuff. Being rendered obsolete by Amazon and other e-tailers, it says.
Here's a tip for people out there. Do not go to Staples or Office Depot the night before school opens. Do not do that. Right. I made that mistake last year.
It's probably a bad night.
Is it mobbed?
It's just mobbed, and you know, I needed to get
on the contrary. That's exactly the night I go.
How about this? GNC.
Wow. GNC is kind of it's where I get all my horny goat weed.
It says for decades, customers bought vitamins and nutritional supplements at GNC, brick and mortar stores. However, the rise of superstores, warehouse retailers, and e-tailers started rendering GNC's businesses obsolete.
What about Nutrition Warehouse? That's another one.
I don't know.
Yeah, but the next one on the list there is basically the same thing as GNC.
Vitamin Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Which
there's one right over here.
I've heard of. Yeah, I've never been to. And then after that, Vitamin World.
What about Vitamin County?
There is no Vitamin County that I know of.
Vitamin right? Hamlet?
Or maybe they're still doing well. I'm not really sure.
Vitamin Subdivision.
But this could go away this year. Foot Locker.
Really?
Yeah. I always liked Foot Locker.
Yeah. I was just there last week.
Here's a couple of shoe stores. Foot Locker and Payless Shoe Source are apparently on this list.
DSW is crushing it right now. So that's kind of, I mean, Payless is really like Bobo stuff. It is.
What is it now?
Like Bobo shoes.
Knockoffs.
Knockoffs.
Oh, you know what?
I just haven't heard the term Bobo in a long time.
DSW is huge.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, they're though sometimes like Eastern Mountain Sports or whatever.
That's going away too.
Well, it's gone.
Did you sing the Bobos song when you were a kid?
Bobos, they make your feet feel fine. Bobos.
They cost a nickel and a dime. Bobos.
Is Bobo a brand, or is that just make fun of cheap shoes?
They were knockoff Converse.
Okay.
No, it's a brand.
Are they a brand?
Bobos are a brand?
Yeah.
Okay. I always thought it was a clown.
Like a derogatory
term. Yeah.
Okay. Bobo shoes. I didn't know that. I buy my shoes exclusively in one place.
Where?
The Skechers store.
You love Skechers.
Mr. Elliott is here.
I got on board with Skechers about 15 years ago, and they are the only shoes that I buy.
Do you know, I love
them.
Most of my shoes are Merrells. The hiking shoes and boots and the whole thing. Okay. I freaking love them.
All right.
I love shoes you don't have to lace up.
But I do find...
Listen, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, yeah. You're...
I've stopped buying shoes with shoelaces,
right?
Man.
Right?
I buy only... Oh, is that an old man thing?
No, yes, it is. No.
I buy only loafers.
No.
I got these Skechers right here, dude.
Gosh.
They are the best. I freaking love not having to tie my shoes. The only shoes I tie are my golf spikes, and that's it.
So I have laces. It's just that I don't need to use them because of the super cool design.
Oh.
Do you have a giant shoehorn that you don't have to bend over to put your shoes on?
And help you put on your socks?
Because with shoes you don't have to tie, you don't need those things. Anyway.
I'm getting over to the couch. There's sponge cake today.
And cream soda.
Cream soda.
What, Marissa?
You just make yourself sound so old.
Yeah.
It's not. You're wearing stylish shoes. It's not like you're wearing a burial jacket.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't pull my socks up to my calves, so
yeah.
I got that going for me.
Well, that's the
and
style
being
now.
Old is better than the alternative,
being
bitches.
Being dead.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't like that style. The high white socks and sneakers. And now it's like...
I would hope you wouldn't.
Well, no, now the new style is wearing like the colorful socks with just regular sneakers.
No.
Colorful socks with regular sneakers pulled up high?
Yeah, you know how
that's
like socks...
That's the style?
I think they're wearing like Nike Elite. They make... I mean, dude, a pair of socks is like $15.
It's just my Yeezys.
Yeah, socks are like a new accessory. And there's some really cool socks out there, but I don't get that with sneakers. I mean, it's stylish, it's in...
Well, this is what hip people do. They take things that are considered dorky and taboo after a while, and then you slap them on a cool-looking person, and all of a sudden they're stylish, and that's it. There's an idiot in my neighborhood that mows his grass with his freaking socks pulled all the way up his...
Well, hang on.
Up his calves.
He might do that...
To his man bun?
He might do that because of ticks.
No, I can tell from this guy that he's just an idiot.
All right.
Is he, like, trying to be trendy? Is he just a yokel?
No, he's just a nerd.
Okay.
But anyway...
Do you ever tell him?
No, I don't even know.
You look stupid.
I don't know the guy.
I'm about three houses up.
But I would like to yell at him.
Just throw stuff at him. Right by.
Payless Shoe Source. And then the last one I saw on this list of some retailers that might not survive this year. Is it Charlotte Russe?
Oh!
That's shoes, right?
Steve is really upset. No, it's a clothing store.
It's a clothing store. My wife, at least you know Kathy. I know my women's apparel.
Yes, you do.
And she is, there was a great, almost famous... I called it my wife's almost famous coat. It looked like the one Kate Hudson wore in Almost Famous.
Okay.
And it was, I kind of purchased it for her at Charlotte Russe.
It's a retailer that targets female shoppers in their teens and 20s.
It's super cheap.
Is it super cheap?
Yeah.
Okay. But apparently they reduced their term loan debt from $214 million to $90 million.
Same
old story. Going
for them. Yeah.
But they have a lot more. They've got some debt.
Yeah, the quality of their clothing is not the best.
Okay.
Which is probably
part of
the problem.
But it's fun and free-spirited.
It is.
It's cheap. I mean, yeah.
That sucks about Foot Locker, too, because they were so successful for a stretch that they had three different versions of it. You had regular, you had kids, and Lady Foot Locker, and... Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I'd get my
the one that did not work, Nick, Meat Locker.
Yeah.
it just to have meat hanging unrefrigerated.
Right?
You know what, though? With...
So, right, Preston?
Yeah.
It's just the worst.
It's not safe.
It's not safe. It's not healthy.
With Foot Locker, like, I go in there, everything is always full price. So, like, you know, if you're looking for sneakers, say, like, Nike sneakers or something, I don't know. I feel like you can find them or a version of it discounted somewhere. So,
yeah.
I'm less likely to buy in Foot Locker when I can find a similar shoe at a discounted price.
Well, Kath, I was actually at Foot Locker last week getting my son basketball sneakers, and they had like three people working there, which I thought was crazy because it was just me and my kids were in there. I'm like, well, I don't know why you're employing three people to work right now.
But you'd rather have people there ready to go. That we were complaining about going into a store and no one's helping you.
But, I mean, the Springfield Mall has so many shoe stores. I mean, they have Journeys. They have Foot Locker, Kids Foot Locker, Finish Line, Champs. So I did end up going down. I think we ended up getting the sneakers at Champs, which were $40 cheaper than...
Champs?
Yeah.
I thought that was a restaurant.
No,
Champs is a sporting goods place, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Champs, I mean, with two P's is that, like, sports bar.
Yeah. So this is Champs, I believe, with one P.
Okay.
Well, now you got me second guessing.
What if it's called Chumps?
I don't know.
Nick, here's a little bit of info for you. The guy that started Champs started Redstone.
Interesting. All right. Well, anyhow, I guess Prime Day gets started today. When was that? You guys
3 o'clock.
Saying, 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, but other places are following suit and offering all kinds of discounts as well. So, Kathy, are you? You excited about that?
Shopping right now.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything you can do to, you know, also with the brick and mortars that keep people employed, that's always a good thing if you, you know, check it out.
All right. We have to take a break. We have a movie screening that is tonight. And how about this price? Free.
What?
It's for if you're the next five callers, the Equalizer 2. And this is at the U8 Riverview, so keep that location in mind. It will be at 7:30, and you'll need to be there no later than 7. So I got five of those left, and that's it. And don't worry, we got another screening coming up. I'll tell you about in a little while. 215-263-WMMR. Get on board. Give us a call. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. Two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four juicy boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four all beef Omaha Steak burgers, four traditional kielbasa sausages, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get it's for $39.99, and what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Steven makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So I had no idea that Taylor Swift was in town over the weekend.
Yeah, at the Link.
I don't know how I missed out on
that. Two shows.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I don't know how you missed out on it because I felt like I was the only person not there.
Really?
Yes.
Is this, what you mean, what, looking at social media?
Yeah.
It was all over the place. And and obviously sold out both shows.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know she was coming at all.
I had no clue.
And then next thing I know, I used to look on Facebook. I'm like, oh, same thing as you, Kath. I'm like, oh,
my daughter used to really, really be into Tay Tay.
Not so much Tay Tay anymore?
I guess not. She doesn't really talk about her. Well, she
did. Who's she into now?
I don't know. She makes her own videos on that.
Tekashi 69?
No, the Musically app.
Musically, yeah.
Yeah.
Lil Tay?
But she did indicate to me that that Tay-Tay is now a bad girl.
Oh, really?
Tay-Tay's a bad girl?
Yeah, she's going through a bad girl phase. As opposed to her more, you know...
Oh, I didn't know that.
A girl next door thing in albums past.
Even if it's not the case, just have her stick with that. If she turns away from the bad girls, that's a good place to
be. Yep. So I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I on a lot of social media accounts that I follow, people went to the Taylor Swift shows dressed in concert, so they would like all go dressed the same.
Yeah.
And they
would
have matching outfits, and there would be a theme.
Like a squad.
My entire neighborhood went, and they all wore the exact same shirt.
Okay, and what was there some reading?
It said, I love TS.
Okay.
Preston,
okay.
We used to do the same thing years ago with the Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
We'd wear
our Bachman-Turner Overdrive shirts. There was an issue during one of the performances, though. She had this this basket that she was in that was that lifted her up and was supposed to move her out over the audience to perform from, and there was a mechanical issue.
Oh.
So it locked up in the air.
So okay. What did she do?
She became uncomfortable, and there's audio of her talking about it until they actually were able to fix it.
Oh.
So from the basket, she's talking?
Yeah.
That was, all right. Here's the clip. I haven't heard this yet.
Going like straight up and down in the sparkly basket. It's supposed to take me to the other side of the stadium. So what happens now is basically like I'm just chilling, waiting to figure out what happens next.
So
boring. So sorry.
I wonder how long she was stuck up there.
A few minutes, apparently.
Marissa?
That's funny.
This happened when I saw Pink a few months ago.
She got stuck.
She was on this like bed contraption. At least Taylor Swift had sides.
Yeah.
Pink, because she like swings from her bed thing. She was stuck up there for a while.
How long would you say, Marissa?
Probably like 3 or 4 minutes. She kept going. She didn't stop and let it go. It was kind of like everyone was whispering and then realized that she was stuck and like.
Help!
That would have been better.
Help me!
Turns out she's afraid of heights.
She's just dork.
Yeah.
I mean, Pink goes up like Cirque du Soleil style.
Yep.
She's got some balls, man, to do that.
Speaking of Cirque, have you guys seen the setup over at Oaks?
I want to go.
How? Have you driven by it?
I've seen pictures of it.
Cirque is setting up over there?
Cirque du Soleil. I've driven by it several times. It looks awesome.
Yeah. My dad rides on the bike trail, and he was like, you have to go to this. It looks amazing, the setup.
We're going
to
go for
Oaks.
But it's full-on Cirque du Soleil.
Wow.
And they've got this gigantic setup with all these swirly tents and stuff, man. I can't wait to get over there.
If you want to be, you know, I was of the school, you know, Cirque du Soleil, the dragon and crap. And then you go see a show, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
When you guys go see that stuff, do you get like a little bit nervous?
I've never seen a circus show. And there was an issue at one of the shows a little while back where someone died. I forget which version of the 5 million shows they do it was. But yeah, it there is a risk factor.
Well, my daughter was in a play. She was in Mary Poppins last year. And Mary Poppins, a couple of different times, comes in and out on wires.
Yes.
Now, this is also, these are like grade school kids.
So right.
I don't know who the stage crew is or whatever, but I got so nervous every single time she was coming up and down on that thing. Just because, I don't want something bad to happen.
I saw 12 Angry Men, and there's a point in the show where the head juror comes in on wires, comes flying in from the and he just crashed to the table, and I was worried.
Well,
why he was flying, but
I went to David Blaine last week, and he had done a couple of things where I'm like, dude, like if that ice pick goes through your hand, like what? Show's over.
But that's why you come to watch it's, the
danger. I guess you're right.
Death-defying.
And you know what? He had made that realization, and he was actually talking about that on the stage. He goes, it's pretty weird, but there are some people out there right now that want this thing to go through my head.
They do, and that's part of the deal. Have you ever been at a show where there was like a major malfunction? Or I love the footage of years ago, Milli Vanilli. The classic footage,
yes.
When the CD got stuck and was looping as they're singing on stage.
I was at a How to Train Your Dragon live at
Wells
Fargo Center.
Yeah,
and they had a mechanical problem and they had to skip. part of the show, basically, is what they had to do. Hang on a second. I'm going to go to Lindsay. She was at the Taylor Swift show when the basket thing happened. Hey, Lindsay, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, Lindsay. So she got stuck in the basket. You were there to see the whole thing?
Yes, and I was actually, so I paid lots of money, and I was actually at the stage that she was supposed to come to at that basket.
Oh, bummer.
So how it, was set up is that she had these two contraptions. One was a basket, and one was a snake. So she got off, and she played it off, and we just sang some acoustics with her. I was hoping she was going to do the fight song, but she didn't. I was like, you're in Philadelphia. You need to do the Eagles fight song. But she got off, sang a couple songs, went over to the snake one, and then just went over to the other stage. But she never came over to the stage that I was at.
So you, you thought you were going to have, like, real close-up access, and she never got to the stage you were near?
Yes, but I went over to the other stage that she went because I was in the back. I was in the last row of the,
yeah.
of the floor, and I ran over there real quick. And I was able to get super close, like... I took selfies with her. Like,
oh, that's pretty like, cool. That's awesome.
There's pictures of me and my friend, and she's maybe about 10 feet behind us.
I'll tell you what, the now more and more, like, Nick, you were talking about the U2 concert. Now they're able to pull it off with the sound management and all that stuff yep. where the artists are all over
yep.
large arenas. And yeah. it's pretty cool. I mean, yeah. you never yeah. had that before.
It was pretty awesome, and she played it off gracefully. She was talking about getting off the stage and walking. she was talking about getting off the stage and walking over to our the stage that I was supposed to be at, like you know, walking
yeah.
through the crowd and stuff like that.
But she never did it.
She never did it. She was, but she
we'll
was really
do it!
About it. She was really, you know, she tried really, really hard because she, I mean, I'm a Taylor Swift fan through and through, but yeah. she really does care about the fans so much.
She does seem to be.
Steve, what if she started, like, berating the crew members and stuff? Just
you freaking losers. You minimum wage jerk-offs. Get me down off this thing now or you're all fired.
That would be, that'd be pretty special to see that in concert.
Oh, I'll Thanks, cane Lindsay. You. I'll cane every one of you. You know I will. It's when you see someone's real. There's a classic story of a cover band on Long Island that used to do a Doors act, and the guy would always get up on the drum kit and fall off and hang from the ceiling, and the rat and the thing like it'd be a, like a one of, like a hung ceiling like this, and it'd come crashing down, and it was always crazy. He was trying to out Jim Morrison.
Oh, really?
And there was always, he was always getting injured. You know, in the height of the performance, I'm really going to rock him in Bethpage yeah. tonight.
Right. Well, dude, Eddie Vedder, didn't he used to climb all over everything?
Yes, he yeah. did. I saw him in at the Lollapalooza show in 92. Pearl Jam actually opened that show, which was hard to believe. But he went, he climbed up into the rafters of what is similar to the BB&T Pavilion, a shed venue like that, and walked across the girders over the top. Dude, oh that is, when you fall from there, you die.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was that high up. And then he climbed from the top, and then he went all the way to the back, and then climbed down a girder there,
I'm
and then jumped.
Throw up. I'm going to throw up.
And then he climbed down and went into the crowd. The footage, the video for Alive, there were they at
the truck,
the
right?
truck, and yeah. he jumps from that high up the second level down that, into the crowd.
Thank God there were enough people there of sufficient size to yeah. catch him.
Well, the band talks about it in that documentary that they put out a few years ago called PJ20, and yeah. they were afraid. Their lead singer, and they're just reaching like the heights of the rock world of it in 92,
yeah.
93,
yeah.
that their lead singer was going to die. Right. And so they're jamming up on stage, and their, you know, Porch is a 7-minute long song.
I'm
going to
throw up.
We're about to.
I can't breathe. I would never, but in the height of the, you're in the music and you're Eddie Vedder and you're singing a song or, you know, I could see I'm going to climb up and then it'll be a night. It'll be captured by photographers.
And then you're all the way up there. You're yeah. like, oh, my God. I can't get down.
I can't. I'm scared.
I'm scared.
I climbed up too high. I'm scared.
I mean, what if they had
could
to help
someone
him
come
down?
Up? What's your name, officer? I'm getting piggyback down.
It happened to my friend. He climbed up on my garage roof, and then he couldn't get down.
I'm just scared.
That first step was just too much for him.
Yeah. Oh, when I was a kid, we had my dad, I guess, was painting the side of the house or something like that. And this was, I was probably 3-4 years old. I mean, just a little kid. Uh-huh. And I climbed up that ladder, and somewhere there's a picture of me crying on the ladder because I couldn't get back down. It's like I didn't go on the roof or anything, Case. I just got halfway up the ladder and couldn't step back down a rung.
Isn't that a funny occurrence, though? And it happens so often where, as a kid, you'll climb a tree and you'd be like, are you going up and up and up? And you're looking around on the ascent, but the descent, for some reason, seems so...
Yeah.
Difficult.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that story, the woman in college climbed up in a tree and had to call the fire department to come get her down. Wow. Okay, so anyhow, Tay-Tay got stuck.
Yeah.
She was high up in the basket, and I guess they took care of it. Speaking of high up, there was a story that you sent me, Steve. The Schlitterbahn water slide.
Yes.
In Kansas City. Remember that 10-year-old boy died a couple years ago?
Yeah, they take it down.
They're going to tear it down.
Yeah.
It hasn't been in operation, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. But its deconstruction was officially approved. A Kansas judge said so. They're going to have to do it with 17 stories. I've forgotten how big that is.
Do you remember? So it was a buildup to the. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's in operation for what? Just like a year.
Mm-hmm.
This kid gets killed.
Yep.
I remember during watching the test footage of that, we talked about this. They put basically like these sacks that approximated human weight in the thing, and they were getting launched out of the cars or whatever they were on, and that's why they put that net up over the thing, and that's actually what killed the kid.
I understand the desire to do an extreme ride like that. However, it is kind of a waste because there's a ride in Wildwood. It's not quite as big as that, but it's a drop. It's a straight up drop. I think it's called like Cliff Dive at Maury's Water Park, and I've done it many times. The thing is, and every time I go there, my goal is to keep my eyes open as I'm going down, and I don't. Inevitably, I close my eyes every single time because it's like water and wind and all that sort of stuff. So you're kind of missing the ride.
Wear some goggles.
You're not allowed to wear goggles.
Really?
Yeah.
Wear a Mardi Gras mask.
Because they might fly off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, choke you. I don't know.
You look at the design of this as this video is running here. There, so you come down the main fall, and then there was you go right into a loop. And a second smaller hill was what was launching people off.
Yeah.
And they knew it, you know.
Wow, we're looking at this thing.
It's just crazy.
It's insane. So they're going to tear that thing down, so... speaking of fun had for all, that obviously isn't, but it was intended to be. The Build-A-Bear thing, there's a follow-up to this.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes. Apparently Chuck E. Cheese has jumped on the Pay Your Age bandwagon. And I don't know if this was,
Friday, right?
In a Facebook post on Friday, Chuck E. Cheese said that parents can pay their child's age to get 30 minutes of all you can play. And I guess it was only available this past Friday, or is it this coming Friday?
I think it was just this past Friday. They probably should have let it breathe a little bit.
Yeah, because this event happened on Thursday. And,
right.
So they were...
I mean, as if those can't get any more crowded.
And that's what this posting on FARC said. Oh, a place that's wonderful for, crowd control.
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese, where there's typically fights all the time.
Without any incentive.
Yeah. So,
but the max you can do is you pay your age for 30 minutes of play.
Yeah. It said the maximum is $9 for 30 minutes. So you might get a little break if your kids are younger than 9. So they were going to try and do that. And then one more thing from the world of entertainment for kids. Disney World apparently has now made beignets more magical. You can purchase booze-filled beignets at the Scat's Cat Club in Port Orleans Resort.
Refresh my memory on the beignet.
Beignet is almost like a donut. It's
donut without a hole.
Yeah, donut without a hole. Not quite as sweet as regular donuts, but still really yummy. It's a Cajun
or a
New Orleans treat. But an order of 3 Baton Rouge beignets come with a pipette of alcohol.
A pipette?
Yes, of your choosing, which is Bailey's, Kahlua, or Rum Chata. Ever heard of that?
No.
Rum Chata. I don't know.
Faced off against Bruce Lee.
That you then infuse yourself. So they're now getting more adventurous with booze at Disney, or continuing to, by the way.
What's their... So that's... is that as hard as it gets for Disney? I mean, I know they have beer and stuff at Epcot, and
yeah.
Can you get mixed drinks and stuff?
Oh yeah, that you can.
I mean, we're just in
the park. Are there various
in Magic Kingdom or anywhere in the park?
Like in Magic Kingdom,
okay? Because I know at Animal Kingdom, like they definitely have mixed drinks, and
Epcot does as well.
Epcot as well, yeah.
Man, Universal has mixed drinks all over the place.
Really?
Yeah.
Like everywhere you go, there's a stand where you can go get any kind of mixed drink.
So Universal is clearly
kidding me.
More adult oriented,
most
correct?
Definitely.
Okay,
I think anyway, and the rides in their intensity are up a few notches.
And maybe that's the one I need to go to.
You should, Steve. Yeah. You would absolutely love it. I propose a live broadcast, the Preston and Steve Show at Universal Studios.
They can do it. They have the facility.
Take some people along with us. Have a good time.
But apparently we may be of questionable material for Disney, but Universal.
Yeah, we could do Universal.
Come on.
That's what I want. We're going for a free football game for Marissa and Casey. Let's go for a free park ride.
So we have dildo races. So what?
Yeah, so what?
Suck it.
All right, Nick.
So rum chata, which I'd never heard of, is a combination of rum and horchata, which I'd also never heard of, and I had to look up horchata. And it's an alcoholic beverage made from tiger nuts.
Excuse me?
Sweetened tiger nuts?
The hot pot is milking the tiger nuts.
Tiger nuts.
Oh, you're going to like this drink, but it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. Why is it so expensive? Because you got to milk the tiger nuts. Yes.
You've heard that old bit, right?
No.
About a thing called a crocagator. I'll tell you off air.
Crocagator?
Yeah. No,
it's not actual tiger testicles.
No, it's tiger nuts, which are a thing like...
I assume it's like a fruit or
like
something?
Earth almond,
it
says. So anyhow, it's a nut.
Yes.
It's not a testicle.
Right.
But it's made from tiger nuts.
And then so they combine that drink with rum and make an alcoholic beverage that is strong.
Sounds delightful.
It's like tiger milk bars. You remember those? Those used to be supplement bars, like protein tiger's milk.
Remember tiger's blood.
Tiger's blood. They got mixed drinks all around Epcot. It is a small world when you're hammered.
All right. Anyhow, Casey's giving me the wrap-up signal. That means I got something to give away. Mission Impossible Fallout. We have a screening of this. It is a week from today. It'll be at the UA King of Prussia. How would you like to go? Be one of our first five callers, and I will give you those tickets. You will need to be at the theater no later than 7 p.m. as our screening starts at 7:30, and it doesn't open nationwide in theaters till the 27th. So we'll get you in on Monday. Why not? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We're going to take a quick break. Come back in just a moment or two, and I got some bizarre file stories that I am dying.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Honey Tiger. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Honey Tiger, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
If someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
Why not? All right. Hey, a reminder that we have the Belly Flop Championships coming up on Thursday. Valley Beach poolside at the Valley Forge Casino Resort. Free of charge. Come and join us. And they'll start at 6 o'clock. We have the deadline for Philly's Hottest tomorrow at 11 a.m. Need to get the final submissions in. Philly's Hottest Swimsuit.
Just pop on your swimsuit, take some pics, and send them in.
And then we also need to get a few more contestants for the comb-over makeover or comb-over intervention, if you will, for guys that are hanging on to that hair that they shouldn't. And we need you to nominate somebody. We want to fix them for you.
Do you like how we take it easy in the summer? Yeah. You know, we have 50 freaking things going on every day, but it's all good.
Our friends at Shaving Grace are going to be in the studio that particular morning, and they're going to give these guys a complete makeover and bring them around to that bald look. If it doesn't work, they can grow it back.
I predict that there will be some people, in fact, maybe most of them, will see the light and realize they've been doing something that where they actually end up looking worse. They're going to look much better. They're going to be liberated. They won't be a slave to this hair. Somebody, I don't know of any guy who's ever pulled the trigger on going for the shave and not loved it.
Yeah.
You know?
Lives will be changed.
Lives will be changed.
So if you know somebody who needs to have that done, email nick at WMMR.com and we'll take care of it. It's on the 25th. You have to be able to come here on the morning of the 25th, by the way.
Hey, Steve, what do you wash your hair with? I mean, your head with?
Bar soap.
Just bar hope. Bar soap.
Okay. Bar hope.
Yeah. Bar hope.
It looks like Bob Hope.
But a bar.
Yeah, but in bar form. It is part of the classic comedian soap series.
Ah.
Yeah. I ran out of Milton
Jerry
Burrow.
Lewis. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. All right. We got to do the Bizarre File, so here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
You Jack Benny really cleans up nice.
But you ran out of Bob of
Milton
Berle. Sorry to hear that. All right, this morning is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts starting at $2. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew, plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Well, a man with fingernails longer than a bus.
Whoa.
Finally cut them off during a nail clipping ceremony in New York last week after 66 years of growing them out.
You mean they have clippers?
Sridhar Kilal, who is from Pune, India.
It's always a guy from India.
What kind of name is Pune?
It's Comanche Indian.
That's what I thought.
Holds the Guinness World Record for the longest fingernails on one hand. He was first inspired to grow out his nails on his left hand in 1952 when he was 16 years old after a teacher berated him for accidentally breaking one of hers.
I'll show you. I'll grow my fingernails for 60 years.
It was a little boy's
dream.
Yeah,
little boy. He could either had a monkey that rode a dog or grow his fingernails for 60 years.
Dude, I was thinking about the monkey riding the dog thing the other day. Dreamed his goal.
Yeah.
One day own a monkey.
And I had a dream to one day grow my fingernails for 60 years.
The teacher had
to never wipe my ass without having it bleed profusely.
The teacher had warned him about the level of care required to grow out nails and said that he would never understand unless he experienced it for himself. November 2014, his fingernails are measured and have a combined length of 29.8 feet, with his thumb being the longest at 77.9 inches.
You basically render yourself an amputee when you do this because your arm becomes useless. Your hand certainly becomes useless. The actual nails themselves look gnarly and disgusting.
Yes.
I have no idea why anyone engages in this, but they do.
Kilal recently traveled from India to New York City to have his nails removed for a museum display.
What a museum.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, that's the one museum.
A nail technician performed the surgery armed with power tools at a ceremony in the Times Square Ripley's Museum, and it is not known how much he was compensated for his extraordinary nails. His decision to finally let go of his 66-year-old nails could have been influenced by the level of care required to maintain. They said, I can't move much, so every half hour or so I have to wake up and move my hand to the other side of the bed.
Dear God, how does someone like this fly?
Well, he said he admitted there were also perks to having the world's longest nails that he will miss. He said, I never have to wait in a line.
Because he's never allowed to come in.
He's told the
get those rotting nails out of here, you freak.
He holds the world record for longest fingernails on one hand. The current record for longest nails on both hands goes to Ayana Williams of Houston, Texas, by the way. Let's see. Instead of playing the hand she was dealt, a Nova Scotia woman says that she is taking her nephew to court. Barb Reddick and Tyrone McInnes were million-dollar winners in this lottery-type thing called Chase the Ace.
Yeah.
On Wednesday night, Reddick said that she plans to sue her nephew for cashing in on half of the Chase the Ace winnings, sparking a family feud and creating a buzz on social media. There was no sign that anything was wrong Thursday morning. Barb Reddick and her nephew, Tyrone, posed for pictures with a check of more than $1.2 million.
Right.
Reddick and McInnes were each given checks for $611,000. Now, as organizers handed them separate checks, splitting the prize in half, that's when the feud erupted. Reddick said, I'm taking him to court. I'm getting my lawyer tomorrow. She claims that she agreed to split the money if they won the consolation prize, not the jackpot. She said, I'd put his name on the ticket just for good luck when asked why she did that. Well, she said, because he's like a son to me, or he was. So
But at least we're into a feud because of money.
Yeah. So this is a fundraiser, and they entered into this. They put both their names on there, and now she wants to take all the money. So it's ridiculous.
Fess up. $600,000 is pretty nice too.
Yeah. Exactly. So anyhow, a West Virginia woman bit off the tip of another woman's index finger around midnight Wednesday because the victim was twerking on her.
Oh, man.
Latasha Barrett was charged with malicious wounding after what began as a verbal argument with an acquaintance escalating into a physical altercation. A prosecutor said the fight started when the victim began twerking on Barrett, upsetting her.
If you twerk on someone, is that like slapping them with a glove, like a call to a duel?
I don't know. Maybe in this particular case it was. A photo of the victim's finger was shown to the magistrate in court. The victim was rushed to the hospital for medical treatment. Her condition hasn't been released. And the woman, Barrett, could face 2 to 10 years in prison if convicted. She bit her finger off, man.
Well, there goes her modeling career.
I know she's...
she looks like the Geico caveman. She does.
It's the hair.
I was watching this video TMZ had it, Preston, of Iggy Azalea twerking. I don't even know how that... There's movement in there. I don't even know what's happening back there. There's a whole separate thing moving.
I'm amazed that Iggy Azalea is still even a name that's thrown out there.
I know, but she's twerking away, and it's astonishing. Yeah.
Police said a Texas man stabbed another man after getting into an argument over reserved seats at a screening of the first Purge movie last Friday.
There you go.
Sherman police said that prior to the stabbing, Brian Morrison was sitting in a seat that was reserved for a guy named Terry Hanor and his wife, Anna. Well, Hanor confronted Morrison about the occupied seat. Afterward, the suspect and a woman accompanying him went to find other seats. Police said that a short time later, Morrison walked past Hanor and made a comment to the effect of, "I should be able to sit where I want."
Seat reserver.
Both men, began to fight and punch each other before Morrison pulled out a knife and stabbed him in the stomach. This is at The Purge.
Well, he was at the right movie.
Yeah. The victim was stabbed by a 6-inch knife and was released from the hospital earlier this week. Morrison was arrested 4 days after the incident and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Do we have time for one more? Yeah, we'll do one more story. Wrap it up. A man accused of threatening to kill people at the Oregon Lottery headquarters says the email threat was a terrible mistake on my part. In a message, Jason Willett apologized to anyone at the lottery agency frightened by the shooting threat and says that he plans to get help for his gambling addiction. He said, "I was angry at myself after losing a substantial amount of money playing a lottery machine the previous day." So he loses this lottery, and he threatens the lottery staff.
You're loco, man.
He said, "I've struggled with gambling for many years. It is not immediately clear how much money he lost." Well, that was arrested at his home hours after sending the email to lottery officials, and he faces an accusation of menacing.
I'm sorry for threatening to murder you all.
Right, exactly. He was just planning on winning the lottery.
I thought I was going to win.
You know how you can almost guarantee that that'll happen. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Let's take another break. We will come back in just a moment and have a lesson question all set for you. I'll watch the Iggy Azalea twerking video while we're gone.
Yes.
And we'll be back with more. Make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Linkin Park on MMR. No, when that song came out, people didn't quite know what to think about it. A lot of people trashed on it because of a complete switch in sound. But I think that is a beautiful song.
It is.
Shadow of the Day on 93.3 WMMR, 7 minutes after 10. And it's a Monday. It's hot and sweaty. Going to be nasty. But here is one thing to keep in mind. It's going to be the worst day of the week. And we can only go up from here as far as weather's concerned. So 94 degrees and... of course, with the humidity, it's very, very, very sticky out. It's going to feel like it's over 100 degrees.
But what, you know,
that's going to break, though.
Yeah, once that humidity leaves, it's a world of difference.
Do you remember? Yeah, we had that stretch of a few days last week. You, and you could, like I was saying, you could see farther. It's very, it's just a wild.
You're right. Know, the haze, that's the telltale. There's a, like a gray haze that comes with it, and that's the miserable part.
I thought it was funny and extremely accurate. Karen Rogers? Yeah, mm-hmm. Karen Rogers over at CBC said, don't bother doing your hair. You know, if you're a woman that gets frizzy hair when it gets humid out, she said, today, don't even bother.
Yeah, wait till tomorrow. Should be good. We might have some rain, however, in the afternoon tomorrow. There might be a pop-up shower later on this afternoon or evening as well. High 87 tomorrow, and then rest week looks good. Mid-80s can be beautiful. All right, so we're going to do a lesson question today. We're going to give away a pair of three-day go-everywhere passes for Exponential Music Festival, presented by Subaru, by the way, July 27th through the 29th on the Camden waterfront. So you get to see all kinds of artists, and you'll get these three-day go-everywhere passes.
Cool.
If you can answer this question, and this is a tough one, what was the name of the deadly octopus that the Australian vet had to euthanize? 215-263-WMMR. We were talking about dangerous jobs, and for some reason, veterinarians came up. What was the name of the deadly octopus that the Australian vet had to euthanize? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. And while you're calling, we're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning brought to you by Delilah's, most beautiful and talented performers will compete for the coveted Diamond G-String Award at Delilah's on Wednesday, July 18th, hosted by Chanel West Coast. You can visit Delilahs.com for details. What's going on, Steve?
Well, designer Tommy Hilfiger eagerly offering Kate Upton a modeling contract during her pregnancy. Hilfiger says he's already rented an airplane hangar as a studio to accommodate her maternity breasts. Yeah. Long Island medium star Teresa Caputo's estranged husband spotted with a mystery woman at a furniture store on Saturday. Looking at a picture of the two, Caputo says she could see a spirit behind the woman calling her a whore.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Alex Trebek's dog allegedly caused harm to a pedestrian when it charged her in front of his home. Hannah Katai says she plans on suing Trebek for the incident, to which he has responded, quote, what is suck my ass? And that's your Hollywood trash.
All righty, we'll go to the phones and see if somebody was paying attention. What is the name of the deadly octopus that the Australian vet had to euthanize? And I am going to Debbie, see if we can get the answer. Hey, Debbie, good morning.
Hey, Chris, what's up?
Hey, yo.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. All right, Debbie, what's the name of the deadly octopus the Australian vet wanted to euthanize?
You know I was paying attention. His name was Sucker.
Yeah, that's it. It's close enough. Yeah, Sucker. Yeah. Sucky. Debbie, hang on. To you, we're going to give a pair of three-day go-anywhere passes for Exponential Music Festival, presented by Subaru, July 27th through the 29th, Camden Waterfront. 3 days, three stages, 30-plus performers, featuring an eclectic lineup of artists, including David Byrne, The War on Drugs, and many more.
Wow.
Tickets available at xpnfest.org or Ticketmaster. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
And it's brought to you this morning by Rita's Water Ice. Rita's gelati just got even better. The five-layer gelati. Try one of Rita's signature favorites or create your own. Endless possibilities available only in July, so create yours today at your Rita's. Well, this just sucks, man. Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker was involved in an auto accident with a school bus Friday evening.
Yes.
Barker was reportedly driving his Mercedes in Calabasas and making a turn when the bus also attempted a turn and collided with Barker's vehicle.
This is in light of all the other stuff he was dealing
with. Exactly. Law enforcement sources said that no one on board the bus was on board the bus at the time except for the driver. Barker's 14-year-old son was and other passengers were in the car with him at the time. The auto's airbags did deploy, but it was not clear whether Barker or the others suffered any injuries. He is said to be not at fault in the incident, by the way. And like you said, Steve, yeah, it's been a tough summer for him. Last week, he updated fans on his recovery from health issues related to blood clots in his arms. And it was revealed last month that he has been diagnosed with clots in each arm with his condition also leading to him coming down with a staph infection. and an infection of the skin called cellulitis. So
this is not a good summer.
No, hopefully things are going to be turning around for him. System of a Down drummer John Doyleman has now weighed in on the dispute over the lack of new music from the group, saying that all four members of the band are to blame for the personal and creative differences that have stalled their efforts to record a follow-up to 2005's Mesmerize and Hypnotize albums. His remarks follow an interview in which guitarist Darren Malakian and accused singer Serj Tankian had accused Serj Tankian of not wanting to record, with Tankian responding that creative and financial issues with Malakian led to the statement. Mm-hmm. But the drummer stepping in saying, dude, it's all of us.
All right? Every one of them.
Yeah, he said, many theories and much speculation have circulated through the years, with blame focused on one member of the band for the lack of new material. The truth is, each member of the band is equally responsible for both our incredible success and our previous recordings and our unbelievable failure to get along and make music together. Not one of us, rather all of us, are to blame. Egomania, eccentricities, megalomania, and sometimes just stupidity all play roles.
Well, it's not like there's not time to correct this. If they set a goal and stick to it, like they release an album every 13 years, then they'll be doing great.
He said, to our fans, I'm truly sorry for letting you down. The songs that could have been, I'm sorry you haven't. So nice. To the songs, so I'm sorry you haven't.
It's got to be frustrating.
So speaking of frustrating, the opening night of the current Smashing Pumpkins semi-reunion tour, which took place Thursday night in Glendale, Arizona, was apparently not a sellout. And photos posted online showed the top level of the Gila River Arena were curtained off completely.
With
fans who had bought tickets in that section given upgrades to the lower levels, which looked better attended as a result.
How substantially on?
I don't know numbers. The three-hour show itself featured Billy Corgan, James Iha, Jimmy Chamberlain performing for the first time in a full arena in 18 years. And they delivered a set taken almost entirely from the band's first five studio albums, so the music was great.
Well, that's what you're looking for, yeah.
Also peppered among the lengthy 31-song set was a new track, Solera, as well as covers of Fleetwood Mac's Landslide, David Bowie's Space Oddity, and Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. Corgan ran through numerous costume changes, while the stage production was reportedly the biggest the Pumpkins have ever employed. So they're aiming high, but they're playing in venues that I think are too big.
They're overshooting. We do have some audio if you want to hear them doing Stairway. Yeah. Or him doing Stairway down here. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
But I think you're right. Were they to have gone with mid-size venues and sold them out?
Yeah.
Then you'd start to build that traction back up again.
Yeah, do the Tower or
even do the Fillmore.
The Fillmore, thank you.
And sell that out.
Yeah. Yeah, make it a little exciting. Moving on, Foo Fighters were joined on stage during their Saturday night show in Wantagh, New York by John Travolta. And he sang along and did a few dance moves as the band performed a little of You're the One That I Want from the movie Grease. The band also was joined in their set by Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
How was John Travolta doing there in Wantagh?
What was he doing there?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. He was going to the Foo Fighters show.
I guess so.
And so Chad Smith got behind the drum kit and he did a cover of The Faces Stay With Me, while Taylor Hawkins handled the lead vocals. So sounds like a pretty fun night.
Yeah.
Papa Roach appears to be recording a new album. A recent tweet from the band displayed a photo of a whiteboard sectioned off into a grid with each vertical column labeled with a separate recording task. No other details are available yet. The band's last LP, Crooked Teeth, debuted at number 20 on the Billboard Top 200 chart and included hits Help and Born of Greatness. This is interesting. A bat that Jack White used during a charity baseball game outside of Cooperstown, New York, has been inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh, really? Man. This has got to drive Pete Rose crazy.
Right? Warstick, the baseball bat company co-owned by White and current Los Angeles second baseman Ian Kinsler, announced on Friday that White's bat had been enshrined in the Cooperstown Museum. White had used the bat. Wait, where's my teletype? There it is.
Where'd you go?
Like, something's missing here. White used the bat while playing with his team, the Warstick Woodmen, in a sandlot game against a local club called the Leather Stocking All-Stars before his concert in Cooperstown on May 27th. National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum President Jeff Idelson later requested the bat be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's weird and cool.
That's really odd. White, a lifelong baseball and Detroit Tigers fan, invested in 2016 in Warstick, and he recorded the song Battle Cry to help market the bats. He has also reportedly invested in restoring baseball fields around his home city of Detroit so the kids can play on them. So he's, you know, he's a big proponent of the sport.
I hear there's some, you know, even if you're just a casual baseball fan, that the museum...
Oh, it's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and Cooperstown's a really cool town, and it's a fun place to visit. So if you're a fan of museums,
it's one of your better ones.
How far away is that from here?
5 hours, maybe something. But, it's up by the Finger Lakes, which are really pretty. So it's a nice drive.
And then finally, Rob Zombie's fans are getting a little surprised during his set on the singer's current co-headlining tour with Marilyn Manson, which is a teaser trailer for Zombie's next movie, Three from Hell. Zombie posted a short preview on Instagram writing, "Keep your eyes peeled for the Three from Hell trailer during our show. A little preview for you all. It's not often you get to watch 14,000 people watch a trailer." It's a sequel to The Devil's Rejects, which came out in 2005 and continues the story of the Firefly Clan. Zombie completed principal photography earlier this year and will edit the movie this fall after he's done touring with an eye toward releasing the picture sometime in 2019.
Interesting.
And there you go. That is what I have for you in music news this morning. Let's take another quick break. Come back in a moment. Get ready to wrap things up. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize. I will tell you what we have to give away and get you that first letter. We'll come back in a sec.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at PresidentSteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
Red Hot Chili Peppers on 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. It's 10:31. We have survived a Monday together. You may have more to go within your day, but fear not. We got people who can handle this for you. Pierre Robert is coming in next. We'll work your way through that tough part of the day, and then when you get towards the end, Jackson's going to be coming in to take you home. We got you covered, my friends, what we try to do around here. A few things coming up. We have our Belly Flop Championship. It is taking place at Valley Beach Poolside. As of now, the weather looks beautiful. Sunshine and 87 degrees, less humidity than we have today. That'll be wonderful. And something totally different for you to go do. If you're tired of being in the doldrums of the day-to-day and you want a little spectacle and you want to hang out with some fun people, I recommend you come and join us. And it'll start at 6 o'clock. And it's not going to be a late night, or you can hang as long as you want. We got a beddy time.
Yeah.
As we get up early in the morning, but it's a good time, man. So we've got our contestants and we're ready to go. And that'll be on Thursday. So make sure you plan, make your plans to come and join us. What else do I want to mention? You know what? Yeah. I need to mention this, Casey. Here it is. We have our events coming up soon for the Miller Lite London Calling with Green Legion and the President's.
Yes.
Your first opportunity to win a trip along with us to London is going to be taking place with Marissa on the 20th. What day of the week
That's
is that?
Friday, man.
That's this Friday? Yeah. She is going to be at Xfinity Live, and she'll be there from 5 to 7. Make sure you stop in. Miller Lite specials and, of course, your opportunity to possibly end up with us in London. And then there's an event the next day at Liberty Union. By the way, Marissa's going to be there from 5 to 7. And then on Saturday, 9 to 11, join our friends at Miller Lite for this event. Your opportunity to get registered to win.
Honestly, you have a good chance. You go out to the events, hedge your bets. You could be with us standing in front of the Eiffel Tower and the Roman Coliseum.
Oh, yeah, man.
Right
Leaning
there
Tower
in London.
Right there in London.
Great Wall of China.
Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
Taj Mahal. Right there in old London.
Yeah, the Seven Wonders. Right
Seven there. Wonders of London.
That's why it's such a popular city.
Well, it's got all those things that you normally think, well, they must be in other countries. No, it's one-stop shopping.
All right.
Fish and chips. Guacamole.
Guacamole. Oh.
Lo mein. All the dishes.
They'll all be there.
All be there.
Couscous.
Couscous.
So get yourself set for that. Thank you very much to Mr. Mark O'Connor of the Irish Pub and our friend Deputy Commissioner Joe Sullivan of the Philadelphia Police Department for stopping by today. They are promoting the Tour de Shore, which is Sunday the 29th. So a little over 2 weeks away from that event, or a little less than 2 weeks away.
Less than 2 weeks away now.
Yeah. And Casey has two events, fundraising events for his team, the Rock and Rollers.
Yes.
And this Wednesday is the family-friendly event at Pinocchio's Pizza, and it's all day long, noon to 10 p.m. You can dine and donate while you're there. And do you need to have something with you to donate?
Yeah, so there are flyers that you can print out from PrestonandSteve.com. If you just click on, there's a link on the first page for Team WMMR Rock and Rollers. But you do have to present that flyer. You're not getting a discount. Just 20% of your bill is going towards the Team Rock and Rollers for the Tour de Shore Children's Foundation.
Pinocchio's is turning around and donating that percentage.
Yeah, so they're a sponsor of our team. They help pay for the jerseys and everything like that. So we're going to have a family-friendly event there. But you do, in order for them us to get credit, you know, the server is going to then staple your receipt to the flyer, and that's how we end up getting credit for it. So if you don't have the flyer, then they can't prove that you were there for our event.
And if you haven't been to Pinocchio's in a while, they have awesome pizza.
Well, I think the Stromboli's are the best I've ever had.
The best you've
and
ever
I'm not
had.
Just saying that.
No.
And then a week from tomorrow, there's Happy Hour at Irish Pub in the city, 20th and Walnut. And Casey's going to be there, and Steve's going to be bartending, and Marissa, and maybe even Pancake will be doing a little bit of bartending, too. So we'll bring you up to speed as we get closer to that one. So thanks, Hocus guys, for being by here. Who wants to do the letter of the day?
I can do it.
I didn't even guess.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
D, as in drive.
All right, and we have a VIP four-pack of tickets and pit passes for the Gander Outdoors 400 at Pocono Raceway, July 27th through the 29th. It's a huge NASCAR race weekend for the whole family. Kids 12 and under are free Friday and Saturday and half price on Sunday. So bring your tickets, bring your family, and just bring it Pocono style and tickets at PoconoRaceway.com. All right? And there you go. We'll give that sucker away on Friday. I'll take this moment to thank our official sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. Today's program has been brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also, Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Skull Shaver, say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pit Bull from Skull Shaver on our program tomorrow. Haven't done this in a little while. Not your average listener.
Yes.
It'll be somebody who's got an interesting story to tell tomorrow morning on our program, and I'm sure we'll have a few other things in line with that, too. That's it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day, and we shall see you again tomorrow, my friend.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
So first I asked myself, who are these 80,000 people who would pay money to go see Taylor Swift? And then I asked myself, why is it that I have to make drinks for them tonight? And then I asked myself, where did it all go wrong?
Next message.
This one's from my boyfriend, Logan. Logan, you're a badass guy and an even better boyfriend. I love you, babe.
Next message.
For anybody watching the news lately, they don't call them shady for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.